The Federal Communications Commission has determined the following content to be emotionally harmful.
Funny things that you think funny aren't funny.
Give me cocks all the time. I want cocks all over me.
The Alan Cox Show kicks ass, man.
Welcome.
Show me what you got.
You're not going to see a lot of cocks on TV.
Alan Cox from the Alan Cox Show.
I don't know what it's about you, but I can't even stand your voice.
I think you're the biggest asshole alive.
It's going to be a great show.
Let's kick it. I'll say kick it, and you'll just kick it with a tasty groove, okay? One, two, three, kick it. Kick it, come on. God damn it. Could you one time kick it? What the?
Alan Cox.
Here we go. He'll ad-lib. He'll be fine.
It's the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
I just paid $135 for Genesis Section 210. Right. Well, Genesis, yes, they haven't toured in 14 years. I'm talking about like bands where previously they weren't at a $75 ticket level. But because a combination of them wanting to make some money and people wanting to see live music was my point. You're going to get bands, you know, Cattle Decapitation is going out on the road and the tickets are $95 a piece. You know, bands you used to go see at Peabody's for $10 a pop.
Oh, I miss Peabody's.
Of course. The other point, too, on this trainer, and I didn't play it there, but that interview he was doing is on Fox News, and even they said to him, look, you have a bunch of horses that keep failing drug tests. So this isn't like an isolated thing, you know? Yeah. That's what makes the whole cancel culture thing funnier. Mm-hmm. And it usually is the people... whether it's a CEO, as Poundcake says, or a cop, who are all killing their wives, the people who whip out cancel culture, it's usually not their first offense, right? Like, that's their go-to when they finally get accountability for something they did multiple times. They go, well, there's cancel culture.
Listen, yes, my stable boys won't quit peeing everywhere, and I don't know what to do. They're like animals.
Yeah, they drink all this cough syrup.
There's Mucinex everywhere.
Oh, come on.
And just makes the horses so fast.
So fast. And now, so horses, not inflamed.
Are the horses going to have to go to horse rehab?
It's not the horse's fault.
I know, but they're
horse
still...
horse doesn't know what he's got
in still... him. Getting these drugs, and what if they have withdrawals or anything like that? I don't know. We don't know. I don't know how horses work.
That intense.
Send them right to the glue factory. So the Tristan Thompson sold his Bracknell home.
I thought that was old news.
He put it on the market a while ago.
Went on the market for 3.25 and sold it for 2.5.
It's ugly. It's an ugly house.
Okay. You'd live there if it were offered to you, though.
I would live a lot of places if it was offered to me. That doesn't say anything. I live in your garage if you offer it to me.
That's why I would never offer you my garage.
Yeah, it don't have to be ugly.
Huh. Right, so you just don't house. You don't like the property.
Would you live in my basement garage for my building?
If it was free, if you offered it to me, yeah.
Hmm.
But I'm just saying for that to be on the lake and it be a Bracknell home. And it's fairly new. Like, it better be new for all the glass that's around it. It looks fairly modern. It's just not an attractive looking house. It looks like a blob of glass.
Yeah, but aren't you? Well, that must not be the house I'm looking at, unless the glass is all on the lake side. Maybe that is, because this is a photo from the back. But, 5 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms. And again, you're paying for the view and the property.
It's pretty nice to me.
Yeah.
I can't find a picture of the outside of it. I've got a bunch of pictures of the inside. It's
those big old houses in the gated community of Lakehurst.
120 Lakehurst Drive is the address there.
Now, I will only live
there. Poundcake will be going sniffing all the chairs, too. What? He's sneaking to an open house.
No, because you know who his neighbor is? Kevin Love.
Oh.
His neighbor, like one house over, is Kevin Love's house.
Okay. Well, all the more reason, right? You'd be in there, you'd buy that house, get them big old binoculars.
Need him. I would just be out. Why is he outside mowing his lawn at 3 a.m.? He got his bedroom light on. Or
Kevin Love is mowing his lawn at 3 a.m.?
No. Kevin Love saying that to his girlfriend or his soon-to-be wife.
Oh, that you're mowing the lawn at 3 a.m.
Mowing the lawn and just doing stuff to stay outside and look at people's houses. Like, I'm watering the lawn, washing my car.
Huh.
Like, man, he doesn't have, like, an assistant that can do all that stuff.
But why is it at 3 in the morning?
Because that's when his light's on, and that's when stuff might go down.
That's when the murders happen.
Oh, murder, murder, murder. Yeah, okay. The murders happen at 3 a.m. over at the Love residence, and that's why you got to get in there.
When the robbers are out.
Right. Oh, I see.
Someone's hopping over that gate at Lakehurst.
But you could.
I wouldn't.
In the dead of night, cover yourself in head-to-toe ribbed cat suit, right? And you'd be crawling around the landscaping.
Skulking.
Skulking. There you go.
It's too high profile.
Not at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody over there, I think everybody over there at 3 in the morning, they feel comfortable. They're in a gated community. They're sleepy. They got to get up for work the next day. Or they got to...
Robbers park their
boats.
They're
murdering their wife, whatever they do.
Yeah, boat robbers.
No, I'm just saying they park their boats, and then they go on to shore, and then they go into the little houses.
Huh.
Ask around. I've heard. Well, people come from Canada.
Listen,
they park their boats.
I assume that you have gone over this listing with a fine-toothed comb, too. Right? So you know every nook and or cranny in Tristan Thompson's house.
I need to hear more about the Canadian pirates that you think exist.
Pirates steal boats. These people aren't stealing boats. They have boats. They come from Canada, and then they park little dinghies on the shoreline, and then they go up into all the little rich houses.
You mean like SEAL Team 6?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
coming over in the dead of night?
You laugh, but then people... that broke into the Capitol had all the fixings to break into like a bank. They're sliding down.
Yes, and that was in broad daylight.
Okay.
Those people were waiting until 3 a.m. to gingerly tiptoe into the Capitol.
They also weren't robbing anything. They didn't want money. They wanted...
They were trying to kill people.
Okay, these people wanted money.
I don't know what he's talking about. We're going down a weird path here, but... Okay, so according to you, how did we start? You're mowing, if you were the neighbor there, if you bought Tristan Thompson's house, let me try to find a single narrative thread here. Mm-hmm. If you were living in that house, mm-hmm. Kevin Love is the next door neighbor. Mm-hmm. In order to get a peeky peek at him, you'd be mowing the lawn at 3 a.m. with that headlight on the front of the thing.
Or I would be standing on top of my SUV.
I was going to say, why do you have to be outside? Why wouldn't you be...
In your house
with binoculars looking into his house.
Because I don't know necessarily the angles would match up. Like, they're not facing each other. Like,
so you'd mow the lawn. That wouldn't wake anybody up. Boy, you want to go about
there's
things,
there's got to be
right?
a noise ordinance
surreptitiously.
Over there.
Yeah, of course. I can't do anything where I live until, and like, 9 a.m.
There's nothing more suspicious than somebody that owns a mansion like that mowing their own lawn.
Yeah.
No, but that's the genius of it, is they would assume that he was the help. Because why would the owner? So on that point, he's correct. Now, where the Canadian pirates come in, I'm not quite sure. Where SEAL Team 6 comes in, I don't know what that is.
You're saying that they would be, like, people aren't expecting me to, like, walk out over there. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, they would. I feel like people are on guard over there because it's a ritzy neighborhood, and they're keeping a lookout on their shores because some of them have private beaches.
Wow.
And people will come through there and just...
Okay.
Walk through their backyards or look through their windows, see what they got so they could come back for later.
So they come all the way over from, like, Chatham, Ontario, in like, one of those military...
Submarines.
It could be a dinghy.
A dinghy.
That's not far. Lake Erie's only, like, what, 50 miles long?
Here to Canada?
But in a... Like, you go miles. Right across the lake, but in a dinghy, that would be a long way. Right?
No risk, no reward.
And you're... That is true.
And you're trying to stay low profile. So
you're right. 57 miles.
See? He knows all this stuff. I don't doubt
it. I mean, still, that's a really far way to go. Have you ever paddled 57 miles?
You're not paddling. A dinghy
got an outboard motor.
I guess.
According to him.
And if you're riding 3 a.m. in Brattle.
I love that I estimated it. I was really right.
57 miles, yeah.
I was like, something like 50 miles.
Honey, wake up. What is that noise? It's the new neighbor. Jesus, could you go over and tell him, what time is it? 3 a.m. What's he doing over there?
You don't find it relaxing?
He's
mowing the lawn. Relaxing?
Relaxing? Okay.
Hey!
Yes?
Could you turn that off?
No.
Simple, polite.
No.
Hey!
Yes.
Hey, I'm Kevin, your neighbor. We're trying to sleep. Could you do that tomorrow, please?
Nah.
Honey, I don't. This guy, he's out there. He's got binoculars. He's out there blowing up a dinghy. I don't know what the hell is going on.
He's going in a circle in the same spot to look into our windows.
There's a couple people on the beach eating poutine. They got eye patches on. I don't know what the hell's going on over there.
He's wearing nothing but a jockstrap.
Nothing but a jockstrap. You shouldn't mow the lawn with flip-flops on, my man. Can you do that in the morning?
No.
Like how I'm yelling, but he just uses his inside voice.
You're the one paying attention to me.
Yeah, why am I? Okay, well, there you go. The bottom line is, I think the takeaway, hope the pound cake never moves next door to you.
I hope the
person
that bought the house does not listen to this show. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to be looking out their back patio like, so there was a guy that said that pirates come through from Canada through our backyard.
Did they mention pirates in the listing for this house? Like, you know, I don't know if you have to divulge if somebody died in the house in Ohio. Do you have to divulge if it's prone to pirates coming up your shore there, if you have lakefront property?
There's a risk of piracy, and like, oh man, people are going to be stealing our DVDs.
Or Wi-Fi.
No, actual piracy.
Real pirate.
Like, our
rage,
whole bit.
Pillage, plunder. Yeah.
Voice call received.
Put this on the air, dumbass. You think you know it all? You're just nothing but a piece of shit. Talk about dumb shit that you don't have a clue about.
Another satisfied customer of the Alan Cox Show.
Just shut up and play the fucking music.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Hey, Drunk Sue.
Hey, baby. How are you?
Oh. Sober.
Oh, my God, you poor saint.
I know.
I almost had a heart attack.
You almost had a what?
A heart attack.
How come?
Because I sent someone to the store, and they bought me two Four Locos.
Uh-huh.
Which I appreciate.
That is your drink of choice.
That is my drink of choice. However, they bought my own drink of choice, which is black cherry. Yuck. Yuck.
What?
Black cherry. So you have, there are certain Four Locos you won't drink.
No, absolutely. You're right. There's even an apple right now I just found out that's got 14%.
Mm-hmm.
That's 12.
Mm-hmm. Probably tastes like apple flavored gasoline, right?
It is worse than apple-flavored gasoline. I would rather drink apple-flavored gasoline.
So what's your Four Loko of choice?
Fruit punch.
Fruit punch. Why don't your friends or whoever purchased the black cherry for you know of your hatred for the black cherry Four Loko?
Because he's an idiot.
Wow. Here he is getting you gifts, and you turn around and call him names.
Oh, no, I gave him the money. Shut up. Don't even start.
Hmm. Oh. You gave him the money.
$5. Ooh, what a great friend.
Oh, no, it ain't $5.
$1.50 a can.
You know the price.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
It did jack it up. It was $1.99, now it's $2.12, and it's like...
But Drunk Sue, let's be real, you're still going to drink it.
No, I took it back, and I got me a watermelon and a lemonade.
You returned Four Loko.
Yes, I did.
Wow, that is a discerning drunk palate. Hey, a pal got me these stocking stuffers. I don't like this flavor.
Stocking stuffers.
They know me. They even told him when he bought it, she ain't gonna like it.
They knew.
They were trolling you.
Like, there's only one person that buys Four Loko still.
Yep. And he goes, nope, she'll be back. Sure shit, I was.
Well, okay.
I just want to let you know that...
You want to let me know that you got some Four Loko you didn't like?
No, I got the Four Loko I do like.
Right, but not initially.
Well, not initially, but you can't sit there and swell on the end result. You got to be happy.
So, Drunk Sue, how many of these do you have an afternoon?
You know what, generally speaking, two?
Generally speaking? you have two an afternoon.
No, in the morning I get up, and I drink the one from the night before, because I still have it in the car.
Man, I can't imagine waking up and having a Four Loko.
Wait, I can't imagine waking up and being alive and having a Four Loko.
I was going to say, I can't imagine she keeps waking up.
Some people like their Loko.
So you have Four Loko for breakfast.
Well, yeah.
And then Four Loko for lunch, and then a sensible dinner.
Sensible.
That's her diet.
Sensible.
So you have one for breakfast, and then you have one for lunch.
No, but I sip on them all day.
Hmm. You sip on them all day.
It's like those, what was that? That's Slim Fast. It's like her Slim Fast shake.
There you go.
So what do you do for a job? Do you work? How can you just be drunk all the time? And don't you got to drive places, get groceries, something?
No, I don't have to drive. Pound cake, I don't have to drive. The state of Ohio has a slight problem with that.
Yes, I understand. So what do you do for a job?
I paint.
You what?
You paint?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm quite good at it, too.
All right.
Because I have to drink a little bit so I can keep the straight.
You take the edge off, right? Yeah, you got those.
You have the shakes.
Yeah, that's right. Off. Those expressionist paintings aren't going to do themselves.
No, they're not. They're just going to be there and say, "Ha!"
Right.
How about that?
Ever do any pointillism or just keep
any
it within
what?
Nothing? Okay, so are you on your second Four Loko today?
No, I just, you know what? I'm still on the first one from this morning, dude.
You're sipping. I'm sorry. Okay.
For like a day and a half.
Wow. So how long does it take you to finish a can?
Well, I put a lot of ice in it. So, like, I sip it all day, man.
I drank a deuce of Scissorp and got straight folded.
Are you getting straight folded on Four Loko? Are you immune to Four Lokos?
I think I'm getting an immune thing to it, yeah.
Your liver ain't immune.
Sounds like
it. That's why I got to drink black velvet shots in the middle.
Black velvet Jesus. Shots in the middle. Black velvet and that little boy smile, Drunk Sue.
Drunk Sue, how have you not ever...
Right on.
How have you
that
not come...
That makes Susie happy.
Mm-hmm.
That makes Grandma so happy.
How have you not come to any of our bar crawls?
Grandma.
In my house, loves it when Susie's happy.
Right, are you a grandmother?
Oh, of 11.
Oh, my God. A grandmother of 11. I'm sure she's told us that before. No, but...
And one on the way, by the way.
On the way where? To child services?
No. No, it's not child services.
Okay.
Go forth and prosper and just love the world, man. Because you know
good
what?
For you. You got to just love the world, right?
Alan.
Yeah.
Life is really short, dude. You got to appreciate it. Everything.
Nah, life is long, Drunk Sue. They say life is short. Life is long. Life ain't short.
Sometimes it's long, but...
I mean, maybe if you're drinking a couple of Four Lokos a day, life is short. For the rest of us, though...
Perhaps.
Gonna be long.
But you just gotta appreciate every day as it comes. And I hope that everybody else...
That's right. Because one of these days, you ain't gonna wake up.
And have your Four
Loko. I
know,
right?
Yeah.
That would really suck.
And they're gonna pour one out on your grave for their homie Drunk Sue.
They're gonna pull out a kidney and say, "What? This one was wasted."
That's right. Okay, thank you, Sue.
I love you, baby.
I love you, too. There's Drunk Sue.
My heart hurts for her.
Grandmother of 11, soon to be 12.
Why does your heart hurt for her? She seems to be perfectly content.
I used to be that. Like, before I could drink.
You used to
legally.
Be a grandmother of 11?
No.
Who painted for a living?
Before I could drink, I used to drink the garbage, like, malt liquor that you get at the gas station, because that's all the people that I would pay to give me alcohol could get. And I used to drink that at every party.
Yeah, but you were a minor. You weren't a grandmother.
I know, but just the taste
she has
of
other
it.
Choices.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's just terrible. I just remember what it was like, a Four No-No. I would never have another Four Loko again. Last time I had it when I vomited. And
was that Chris Tyler's apartment?
No.
I think I only had one time, and it was when they first came out with them.
No, I used to buy two at a time, because you could get drunk on them for $5, and not just drunk, so wasted, like.
Yeah, but couldn't you get that on one? I mean, they're like those 18
you
can, ounce.
Yes,
right?
You could get drunk,
you can
on,
get
one,
drunk on one.
But I was like, why not get two? It's only $5. And I would, and that's why I threw up.
So, and that's still when it had the caffeine and everything in it, right? Now it's kind of like the streamlined version or whatever.
Only time Ian and I have ever broken up was when he had 3-4 Lokos.
I remember you talking about that.
Yep. I mean, it was the first year of us being together when I moved here. But I had just gotten the job on the show. He was like, "That's it. We're done." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, like, you're being a horrible boyfriend right now." He's like, "What boyfriend? We're not together."
Bill, wouldn't it be great to know the exact formula that would make that work like Ian does? He has this great piece of knowledge.
He
now.
Does know. He knows
three,
what it takes.
Four, it takes 12 Lokos to split them up. Think about that.
A dozen
every
Lokos
guy,
and they're done.
Yes. Every guy would love to know the exact formula.
Yeah.
Go to the phones. Bastolia in Defuniak Springs. Hi, Bastolia.
Elstolia?
How do you spell that, my love?
Eustolia.
Eustolia.
Yeah.
What are you, Cuban?
Mexican.
Oh, of course. Muy caliente. All right. What can I do for you?
I was answering the question.
Before you give me the answer, okay? What are you trying to win? I got a lot of prizes here on the Tumbleweed Dan Show. What are you trying to win?
The Kevin Hart tickets?
Kevin Hart, okay. He's playing the Pensacola Bay Center, right?
Yeah.
In Pensacola. That's a Thursday night. Can you go?
Yes, I can.
All right. How old are you, dear?
I'm 42.
You don't know how old you are. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
You're 42 years old. Because, you know, you sound 18, baby.
Yeah, I do. I know.
You're probably told you sound very young.
Yes.
All right. 42. All right. Repeat the question.
Okay. The exact words?
Yes, the exact words.
I can't do the exact words. Can I, like...
How are you going to win these tickets to see Kevin Hart in Pensacola if you can't remember the question, baby? Okay, paraphrase for me, okay?
Okay.
Paraphrase.
A celebrity that just had a baby named Stormy.
All right. A celebrity who just had a baby named Stormy and...
And her brother didn't know, so I think he was, like, upset about it.
Boy, I sure ask complicated questions, don't I?
Yeah.
Which celebrity just had a baby named Stormy?
Kylie Jenner.
Oh! So close. I'm looking at my card here. It says Kylie Jarner.
Oh.
Oh, my God. It was so, so close, Listolia.
Moops,
so,
Daisy.
Oh, my God. It says Moops. The card says Moops. Yeah, but you said you're 4. I'm going to give you another chance. You said you're 42, right?
I was sure it was Kylie Jenner. I've seen it like all the time on YouTube.
You're 42 and you're on YouTube a lot.
Yeah.
All right. What year were you born?
I was born on 1972.
All right.
How old were you again?
She's 42.
But you're born in 1972?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make you 46? Older than 42?
Yeah.
How old are you really?
Okay, I'm 16.
Why would you lie to me? There's no age limit on this. 42? You sound like you're 12.
I know.
Why would you lie to Tumbleweed Dan?
I don't know. I don't think you can win if you're, like, really young.
Of course you can. To see Kevin Hart at the Pensacola Bay Center? So, if
well,
I... What?
I don't know.
Right.
This whole relationship is built on lies.
Built on lies.
Lies.
All right, I'm going to ask you one more time. What station just made you a winner?
Z96.
Right. Well, you should give them a call.
Give them a call?
You should give them a call.
Why?
How'd you find this number?
We listened to my sister typed it in.
And who told you to call?
Z96
in Pensacola. Where are you listening to Z96, baby?
In Defeniac.
So you listen to Zazza Mornings with Cherry?
I don't think it's Cherry, is it?
I don't know. Who are you listening to now?
I know it's Zazza. I just don't
yeah, Zazza in the morning. I'm looking right at it. Right. Well, call them.
We're a show in Cleveland.
Yeah, you're calling Cleveland, Ohio,
that's
my love.
The wrong number.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd love to give you tickets for Kevin Hart, but I don't even know who you're trying to get a hold of.
Okay.
But listen, it's been a blast talking to you, Rustoleum.
You young guns.
That's all right. Have fun, baby. Okay, bye-bye. There's Rustoleum in Pensacola, Florida. Oh.
My God.
Who was trying to win those Kevin Hart tickets. I love wrong numbers.
I the fact that this happened last Friday, and then again, like, is this the new Friday thing? We're going to just get wrong numbers?
Was it last Friday?
I think it was.
Oh, man. Hello, Mallory.
Hi.
Hi, Mallory. What's going on?
Nothing much. I was listening to the radio, and I heard something about being the nice caller for, like, Harry Styles tickets and stuff.
Harry Styles tickets! Yes, all right, Mallory. Let me tell you, what station is going to make you a winner, Mallory?
96.5, I hope.
Yeah! Now, where are you listening, Mallory?
I'm listening from Scottsboro, Alabama.
Now, tell me where that is.
Northeast corner of Alabama.
My dad went to Auburn. Go Tigers. Now, again, you're going to have to repeat the question to me and then give me your answer. Did you hear the question I asked? For the Harry Styles tickets. Hello, Mallory. Are you there?
Yes.
All right, babe.
You said to be the ninth, you had to be the ninth caller to pick if you wanted to, like,
go watch like show styles and concerts.
That's right. Now he's doing a lot of tour dates, a lot in Alabama. Okay? So you need to tell me which one you're trying to get to, because in Alabama alone, Mallory, you're never going to believe this, he's doing 17 shows.
Really?
Yes. So which show are you trying to get to?
I was just trying to get the one in Nashville. That's about it.
In Nashville. And who are you going to take to the show?
My sister.
Yeah, how old is your sister?
25.
And how old are you, Mallory?
I'm 16.
16 years old! There are a few rules here on the Tumbleweed Dan Show, Mallory, that I normally don't give tickets to anyone under 18 years of age. But in your case, I might make an exception.
Okay.
Have you ever seen Harry Styles before?
No, I haven't.
All right. But you are a One Direction fan, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, are you a fan? What was your favorite One Direction song?
I'd say Love You Goodbye.
Love You Goodbye. All right. Now make sure I don't have to say that to you, Mallory. All right. Are you ready? Mallory, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. For Harry Styles, tickets to Nashville. Because you're not the ninth caller. But if you can answer one simple question, you might be able to get tickets.
Okay.
Are you a fan of his new band, Second Direction?
He doesn't have a band for Second Direction.
Oh, wrong answer, Mallory. He just announced this morning on Twitter.
Are you kidding me?
His backing band is called Second Direction.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to go look that up.
Mallory, no, focus on me, Mallory.
Okay.
Are you ready to win tickets?
Yes.
All right. Mallory, do you always listen to the Tumbleweed Dan Show?
Sometimes.
Mallory, sometimes. All right, focus. For Harry Styles tickets in Nashville, tell me again what station's going to make you a winner in Alabama.
96.5.
Yeah, baby. Now you have to answer one simple question and you're going.
Okay.
Did I mention backstage passes?
No, you did not.
Well, I just did.
Yeah.
You will meet Harry and Second Direction.
Okay.
If you could answer me one question. What, Mallory, is Harry Styles' middle name?
Edward.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
That's right.
His middle name is Trisha.
You're wrong.
No, I've got it right here.
It's Harry Edward Styles.
It's Harry. His real name, Mallory, is Harold Trisha Styles.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Don't argue with Tumbleweed Dan, Mallory.
Okay.
Mallory, I'm so sorry. Will you accept a consolation prize?
No, I'm good.
All right. No, thanks, Mallory.
Have fun in Alabama.
Oh,
you know what's going on?
Nope.
You got to check the number real close when you call.
What number did you call?
It didn't tell me.
It didn't tell you? Well, no, you tell the phone what number to call. It doesn't tell you.
What?
No, it's okay.
No, we're in Cleveland.
Yeah, this isn't Kiss FM in Alabama, Mallory.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Sorry.
But that Second Direction thing, that's true. He announced that this morning.
Thank you, Mallory. There's Mallory in Alabama trying to get those Harry Styles tickets.
Now you can enjoy that sickening middle of the night.
What am I going to do with my life?
Feeling in the afternoon.
The Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
I saw a guy on TikTok who's messing with the down with the sickness thing.
Oh, wow.
so versatile. I've got to work a pound cake into that somehow, right? Mm-hmm. Why not?
I always do the more claps I'm supposed to.
Clap, 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 clap.
I know, it's like you can't stop.
Yeah, that's all right.
Stay on beat.
If you want to join us, 216-578-1007, 800-348-1007. You can text 35192. Alan, I was listening to a podcast from last week. You guys were talking about the Waffle House. Why are we talking about the Waffle House? Because they have a soundtrack. They have a record label.
Mm-hmm.
I was Christmas shopping with my mom, and she wanted Waffle House. And we walk in, we sit down, and we order. And the waitress brings us our food with 2 cups of boiling water. And I ask her what the water's for. She said, well, our dishwasher ain't working so well. It's to sanitize your silverware.
What?
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, battle conditions, man. You got to make it work, right? I asked if the plates were washed in the same dishwasher, and she said, yes. We got up and went to McDonald's. So there you go. Hey, here's a couple of boiling things of water. So you're going to wash your own dishes. But I'll tell you what. Those flapjacks still good. Place called the Waffle House. It ain't called the Clean Utensil House. So you figure it out from there.
How is that, like, open? Isn't that a safety concern? Like, you can't do that.
Apparently you can. Apparently they try to do it.
Someone could report them.
If they go, look, we're trying, we have a problem. Here is a solution. Might have been a solution devised by this particular waitress. Who knows? Here's a solution. Boiling hot water. You go, I didn't order any tea. No, this is for your silverware. Now, again, I think the notion that because, and Bill and I have both washed dishes in restaurants before, boiling hot water in those industrial dishwashers doesn't necessarily mean that replicating that in a teacup,
yes,
is going to clean your, but listen.
I mean, it will kill the bacteria that's on the silverware, but it's going to cool down rapidly, and mm-hmm. also, like, you can only do it once.
Right.
You can only put one utensil in there, and then it's contaminated.
Yeah, I do like that their response to that, their solution to that problem was getting up and going to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. We'll go someplace clean.
And wait, should have
went to Wendy's.
At what level of filth do you get up and leave a restaurant?
Because
like in New York, there's roaches and stuff, and there's like not much the people, like the restaurants, can do about it.
Senior year in high school, I was playing drums for Level of Filth, and we didn't get a lot of gigs, but we did good shows.
Mm-hmm.
What level of filth is acceptable in a restaurant? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. What level of filth will you get up and leave?
Yeah, I mean, like,
visible.
Yeah,
visible, but
sticky. Like if you sit down on a table and you're like, oh, yes, this is, all right.
Well, like that book, Invisible Filth.
If a table's sticky, I'll be like, wipe it down. But like, it has to be a little more than that.
To me, that's like the first sign. It's like, if this table, they set me at a dirty table, the easiest thing to do is wipe this down.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But we're never happy. Because if you sit down and the table has just been wiped down and it's wet, you go, no!
I would rather sit at a wet table than a sticky table.
I left at a rickety table. Like, someone had, someone had a book to, like, level out one of the legs, and I'm like, no, I'm not sitting here. I'm not eating here.
It depends on how good the food is. I've been to some real gross restaurants where the food was amazing. So I'm like, I'm fine here.
But that rickety table thing, I went to a fancy restaurant one time, and they put us at a table that was wobbly, and it ruined the entire
I would ask for another table. If I'm paying $200 for a dinner,
there
I
was
want
no
a table
other
that
table available.
Ask them for a matchbook. Like,
it was just, I'm like, but also, you should know, like, in a place like that,
it's so rude.
You should have your tables on point.
Yeah, for sure.
It made me furious.
If I'm at a Waffle House, yeah, I'm going to expect that. I don't really mind that, or I'll throw some coasters under there or something. But if I'm paying $50 for an entree,
it's so rude.
But
your table.
You're paying for the entree, not the level of the table.
But the whole atmosphere
goes. It's going to throw off your experience.
Yes, it would.
They're cooking food, so I don't have to.
I'll ask your steak.
I'll ask them.
I have a table at home that doesn't wobble.
I'll take my linen. Right, but I notice you're not at home eating there. You're at the restaurant.
I'll take my linen napkin,
I will fold it to the appropriate thickness. I'm down with the thickness, and I will put it under that wobbly leg.
If you are at a 5-star restaurant and you're about to shell out hundreds of dollars on a dinner, you're cool with a wobbly table.
If that's
there's no way.
Well, I have no reason to lie about this.
I don't believe you.
Why don't you believe me? I've done it before. If the only thing wrong is the table's a little wobbly,
I'd be really annoyed.
Even it out.
You're a curmudge on every other thing, but not a wobbly table.
Again, this goes back to my fact that I am not a curmudge.
Okay.
I don't. Everybody casts me as a curmudge. What I'm saying is that's a problem I can fix.
Yes, but you shouldn't have to at a restaurant of that caliber.
Agreed.
But life is life, man. If you're drinking on a patio at a dive bar, that's different.
I'm saying life is life. Because I've worked in really nice restaurants.
Yeah, so have I.
And so you know. Me too, Bob Evans. You got to figure things out. And if somebody goes, here, our table's a little wobbly and there isn't another table, I go, do you mind if I...
give them a free glass of wine or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So if you can't fix it or you won't fix it, make up for it. Give me some tiramisu or something.
But again,
you got creme brulee.
I'm not a curmudge. I'm not somebody who screams at waitstaff.
Yeah,
I'm not a guy.
Scream, but I'd be upset.
The pound cake's implication is that I would freak out because the table is wobbly. I'm clearly the only one here who would not freak out at the table.
I didn't say
freak
something.
Out. I just it
you
is
said
annoying.
It ruins the whole experience.
It would not ruin the whole. If it were not fixed, if I'm trying to cut a $50 steak in my plates are going everywhere.
Right,
I'm gonna be upset about
that. Fix it yourself.
Well, this was like
they're busy.
I didn't enjoy this place at all anyway, so like it was.
Oh, well, then you're working backwards.
But it was one of those things where like that was the beginning of it. I'm like, okay, so this is a place that is trying to appear as a fancy restaurant, but they really don't care.
What
so
I will
what
do
I get from that place.
What I will do when I'm seated is I make a beeline for the restroom, because if the restroom is awful, you got to walk out of the restaurant.
That's a good point.
If they're not keeping that clean. There's a lot they're not keeping clean. But if the table's a little wobbly, because here's what'll happen. I'll make sure that they see me putting one of their linen napkins under the table. I'm fixing
myself.
I need
another about it. Yeah. Because mine's fixing your problem. So thank you.
But
like another napkin.
But it's not the waiter's problem. He doesn't own
do
the
Do you
place.
Guys have a level by chance? I'm just trying to get this table fixed. Your table.
I've got one of my iPhone. My ass is sticking out from underneath a white tablecloth. And sir, what are you doing down there? I'm trying to fix your wobbly table. I'm trying to help you out.
I went to a restaurant.
Start playing Wobble on your phone.
Wobble, baby, wobble.
I went to a restaurant, and I went to the bathroom, and in the toilet paper container, there was a poop 20 stuck to the side of it.
Do you understand? I've never heard of a poop 20.
A 20 that was stuck there by poop.
Yeah.
Why would somebody ruin $20 like that?
Because they want to see who will grab it off the wall.
I would.
But it was inside of like the...
How much poop?
It was enough to like dab it on there. I don't know.
Well, this goes back to his initial question. How much filth before you? How much poop needs to be on a 20?
Yeah, if I can take the 20.
Do you need $20 that badly?
If I can take the 20 without getting poop on my hands, I will rinse that 20 off in the sink.
If you ever come across a poop 20, text me.
I'll show
and
you
I'll
picture.
Venmo you $20.
Alan, please help. I'm about to do it, man.
Boom, now you got $40.
Talk me down, dude.
So disgusting.
If you ever find yourself in that situation.
Because the whole 20's not covered in poop.
That's
so
what
you
I'm saying.
Pull it off, and then you
rinse
take it to the
it.
Sink. Nah, you make bro. A nice soapy display, and then you can rinse it off
it
pretty good.
It has another person's excrement on it.
It had.
All 20's have excrement on it.
It was probably
it.
Hard.
That's
too.
True, actually. Yeah. That's why we're trying to move toward a cashless society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. I'll give you that.
Most 20s have been near a butt, I would say. Right?
Most 20s have been near a butt. I guess I should add that to the list, shouldn't I? To the Mary Santora lines?
Sure.
All right. I'll find them and then I'll add it.
Yeah. I would say that's probably a safe assumption. So if there's an amount of poop that I don't have to touch and can rinse off or wash off.
Boy, I didn't know that you guys were so collectively open toward being so feces adjacent.
Yeah, I can wash it off.
She said, yeah.
$20.
Absolutely.
Okay. Again, that's something, that's where I kind of draw the line, I got to tell you.
Because you're a millionaire.
Does that make me a curmudgeon?
No, it makes you the 1%.
Well, no, I'm clearly not the 1%.
Yeah, 1%ers would grab it. Jeff Bezos is grabbing that 20.
Right. My name's Alan. I have a teapot, and I don't want to touch poop 20s. Nice. Must be nice,
well,
Alan.
I didn't touch
what's,
it.
What's the gratification of that if you're the person that... Because you don't see who
peasants.
Takes it.
It's classist.
Yeah. They're
you're
these
sticking
low
it there.
Life.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see who'll grab this. Even though you won't see them, mm-hmm. in your mind you'll go, ha-ha, somebody is so poor or drunk right. that they grab that feces-encrusted $20 bill off the wall. It's like gluing a quarter down in high school.
I've also...
Hey, who's going to try to pick that quarter off the ground?
I've never heard of this until this moment. I
never heard of poop dollar.
No, I've never heard of a poop 20. Seen it, never heard of it.
I know like the Mighty Ducks trick where they put a dollar bill hanging out of a purse and then they fill the purse with poo so that when someone reaches inside the purse, they get a handful of poop. But that's more of a prank.
I've never seen that either.
You never saw Mike Ducks?
I don't think so.
Most 20s have been near a butt. All right, new addition to the contrary Santora here. We haven't had anything since I can't drink a whole glass of spit. Oh. So that's...
Can I just say something really quick on that note?
Have you changed your mind about drinking a whole glass of spit?
Is the 20 in the glass of spit?
No.
Okay, then. No,
no, it's only covered in poop.
So one of the things to help with my thrush that they suggested do was the thing called oil pulling, where you swish with coconut oil. And because it's coconut oil, it has some 50% of it is some sort of acid that kills bacteria in your mouth. It's supposed to be really good for you. It can white your teeth. It can brighten your, help with gum health and things like that. But you have to do it for 20 minutes at a time. And so when I'm 5 minutes in, you have this mixture of oil and spit that you're swishing around. And the first time I did it, I thought of Bill's stupid Dennis drum ladle thing, and I gagged and had to spit all the oil out because I was thinking it's that same consistency that you would think that ladle full of spit would have been. It's really gross. I was very upset about it.
Your doctor didn't suggest oil pulling.
My doctor suggested oil pulling.
Everything I've ever heard about oil pulling is that it's hooey. It's literally snake oil. It's made up.
It's coconut oil. It's not snake oil.
Right. But you know what I mean.
I was on the antifungal stuff, and he was like, if you also want to try this, it's been proven to work. So that was something he said.
I've never seen that. Well, okay, fine. I mean, it's your doctor telling you that. Yeah. I've never, ever heard a doctor say that that's been proven. Oh, it doesn't make your teeth oily.
He said...
Obviously, I'm not a doctor.
But. Well, he suggested cutting back the carbs and sugar, which I was doing, and then doing the oil pulling 3 times a week.
I feel like if you did the first part, you'd be pretty good to go.
I did all of it.
Right, along with I think the heavy lifting's being done by the antifungal mouthwash.
I mean, maybe, but how do you know?
I don't. I'm not a doctor. Hey, Katie.
Hi.
Hi, what's going on?
Well, I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I love the show.
Hey, thank you.
What's up? I was just listening about the restaurant industry here. I've worked in a couple of different restaurants.
Oh, good for you!
I've seen some pretty nasty things, but there's a restaurant in particular I worked at. It was filthy and disgusting, but I would go back there and eat 10 times over again because the food was just so good.
Because the food was so good, that's what I'm saying. And that's higher praise is hard to find for somebody who worked there and still went back. They're like, I know this place is awful and gross and terrible, but the food's so good.
I go through Chinese restaurants. If I walk in and the lights are dim on the little menu board, I'm like, I'm eating here because I know the food is about to be bomb.
If the lights are dim on the menu board.
Yeah, it always looks super faded, like the menu board is from the 1980s.
You almost can't even read it.
Yep, I'm like, ooh, the food about to be banging, because they put no money or time into the actual look of the restaurant. They just focus on the food and the ingredients. So I'm like, yes.
Alan, wrap that 20 up in TP and then put it through a hot load in the washing machine. Hey. Listen, anytime you can get your 20 on a hot load, that's good. Okay, yeah, put it in the pocket of your jeans. And then, again, if any of you ever find yourselves in that desperate of a need of a 20.
But I'm not that desperate.
Hit me up. Okay.
It's just $20.
It's just $20, yeah.
Covered in poop.
Not covered. I said if I can touch it.
If there's a poop, it's got poop on it.
Yeah, it's got poop in it. It's
not, stuck to the wall.
It's not all the way covered in poop.
It has
and then you can also use toilet paper to pick it up. This guy makes a good point.
It has enough on it.
To stop you, not us.
We'll agree to disagree,
I'm not
I guess.
Taking it off with my mouth like
on
a
the
garter.
Poop, poop 20. Hey, Daniel.
Mr. Cox, how are you doing today, sir?
What's going on, Daniel?
So I called to tell you about my experience I had at the Funny Stop this past Saturday.
Oh, you went to go see Young Bill Squire?
I did. And we had a surprise guest, Miss Santora.
Yeah.
Well, not a surprise. He said you were coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a surprise to me.
Oh.
So, and I've never seen Miss Santora before. I didn't look her up online or anything. By the way, she is a very beautiful young lady.
Thank you.
Sure.
And now, thrush free.
What? What? She killed the room until she did some abortion joke and the whole crowd got quiet.
Yeah, that's true. That is accurate. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were with me through all the dead dad stuff. I told one abortion joke and ended on dead silence. I was like, okay.
Well, we're like, aren't dead people old, not new?
Yeah, right.
That's the best way to end, though. Just dead silence.
I was like, well, that's almost exactly how it happened. I was like, well, you guys weren't into that. All right. We'll see you later.
See you later. Don't hold it against me.
So I was listening to Mr. Squire. I was seated all the way in the back. So pretty much my back was against the wall. And Bill was telling a joke about how he paid for his dog, and everyone kept telling him he should have rescued a dog, but he said he had rescued children.
Yeah, cool. Just give away the punchlines on the air. Anyway, go ahead.
The loudest laugh came from behind me. And I guess from what when I look back, it was Mary Santora was in, I guess, a VIP room that was a table with a sheet as a curtain blocking. And she laughed so loud, it actually made me jump. It scared me.
That's actually...
Was the table that she was at wobbly?
Yes.
Yes, it was. Because all the tables at the Funny Stop are wobbly.
Actually, the joke that I laughed so hard at that nobody else laughed at was a throwaway line that Bill said. He was like, I'm really good at this. I love stand-up. This is the thing that I'm best at. And everything else in my life I'm not very good at. And nobody laughed except me. I laughed so hard.
Bill, did you at least were you at least the lone laugher, Bill, at Mary's abortion joke?
No, I like her to sit in the silence.
In the silence. just to marinate in that death is the best.
And then I need to apologize to Mr. Squire. I had a few too many.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot to turn off my phone.
Ah.
And it rang. And, well, Mary already knows where I'm going. My daughter called, and her ringtone is... Daddy's girl.
That was a fun moment.
Yes.
And then Mr. Squire then told the whole crowd that I sound like a daddy's girl.
This guy's giving like the Cliff's Notes of your evening at the Funny. Wait, Daddy's Girl is a song,
I guess.
Obviously, that I'm unfamiliar with. Okay.
It is a country song, and it's my daughter's ringtone.
Gotcha.
She's my girl.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, we understand.
Understood that. Yes. You're the daddy. She's the girl. Got it.
But not anymore, from what I understand, from what Bill says, I sound like a daddy's girl.
Yes. In that situation, that's the what I'm going to say. I'm not going to try and understand why your phone was on and why you have that ringtone. I'm going to try and get a laugh out of it and move on, and I did just that.
You did, and I apologize for leaving my ringtone.
It's okay.
No excuse.
It happens. I'm just always astonished when somebody can get... good service, or like any service in the Funny Stop, because it's kind of like, I don't know, lead paint on the walls or something. Like,
right. It doesn't,
you don't get a lot of service in there.
Sure.
So if you, get a phone call to go through.
It's an old bomb shelter with great acoustics.
And
if you get a phone call to go through, you probably have T-Mobile.
Faster. We weren't at a VIP table. The show was sold out, so the only table left wasn't really a table. We were sitting next to the sound booth, so I was just like kind of sneaking in where I could to watch Bill's set. So,
oh, it's Mr. I'm too good to have feces in my wallet. Says okay, fine.
Mm-hmm,
first of all, I don't keep money in my wallet. Was this 2000?
Yes.
And Alan, I would not touch that 20. It was bad enough being in the checkout line at Giant Eagle yesterday, marinating in the fart of the guy in front of me. Well,
So there you go. You have to be in people's farts all day long anyway.
Yeah, might as well get paid for it.
Right.
Huh.
Wouldn't you rather get paid $20 for being in that fart cloud?
Huh. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Alan, Miss Hillbilly Bougie over there can't take a little wobbly table?
And that's the most hillbilly thing. You talk to any poor person, they're like, if I'm spending my money, I better get my money's worth.
That is true, yeah. I didn't come here to get a wobbly table.
You listen here, I will get another Mountain Dew, and you won't say anything about it. Charge me per item.
Better be pro bono.
What do you mean it doesn't come with fries?
Better be gratis.
Yeah. Ain't got no A1 either, I bet.
Summertime means beers, barbecues, and fishing the occasional drunk friend out of the lake while he searches for his arm.
Hey, buddy, you find it?
This is the Alan Cox Show.
Boy, I tried to shoehorn it in yesterday, but now there's a legit cookie crime.
Uh-oh.
We were talking about Girl Scout cookies yesterday, mm-hmm. and how I guess you're done taking orders.
Yeah, they were due today.
They were due today. Mm-hmm. Did you get a last minute burst?
I got probably about 20 more boxes after the show yesterday, but
that's
when
still
I,
a lot.
Yeah, when I posted on my social media on Wednesday night, no, Tuesday night, it was an overwhelming amount.
A New Jersey Girl Scout leader has been let go from that position after her story of her. There was some cookie theft going on. She swiped some money. So these girls are out there selling cookies. And the troop leader, or whatever you call her.
Cookies sell themselves.
They really do.
Mm-hmm.
They sell themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But she pocketed $1,100 in cash and checks.
What did she think was going to happen?
Took them from the table, robbing the youngsters of these funds. These girls are trying to win a trip or trying to fund a trip to Savannah, Georgia. I guess what? Because one of the cookies is called that?
I don't know. And they had like a camp there or something.
They couldn't afford to get them to American Samoa. they
baked goods,
right?
Behavior bad, cookie crimes.
So this woman steals $1,100 in cash. These girls had sold their do-si-dos and the thin mints,
Samoas.
This was at Woodbridge Center Mall, which we have bureau chiefs in New Jersey who know precisely where that is. She pointed a handicapped man and an elderly woman as the thieves. She pointed the finger at someone else.
Oh, man. So she didn't even... She stole, but also tried to blame a handicapped person and a mentally challenged person for the crime. This bitch.
She,
hey, that's my lie.
She
well, where were you?
You know what? That was so funny. Because I've just had people Venmoing me or PayPaling me for the money because I can just transfer it to my bank account, take it out, and then give it to my sister. My sister looked at me. She goes... I'm really happy you don't have a drug problem. I was like, why? She's like,
you're like, yet.
She was like, is this money going to go to the bar? You going to have a big party on the cookie money? Mm-hmm. I know, I'm going to steal the kids.
I'll be reading about Mary pilfering cookie money.
Right. How much money did you raise?
Like $350 or
that's
something like that. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
By the way, Russ is so... It's seeing him being a dad is just hilarious.
Oh, that's my little sister's boyfriend that she just had.
He
brought
okay.
the pictures of the baby to the bar. And oh, I was just like,
were you there yesterday?
No, he has been.
Yeah, he's the best dad. She really lucked out with that guy.
He's my dad. So,
he's your dad?
Well, he's like my zad. Every time I go there.
Everybody, he's the manager of Twist. So all the gay guys that I talked to are
everybody
like,
knows him. He's
so
gayness.
Pretty. He's so cute. He's a good-looking dude. And
he's so nice.
And he's nice.
You,
he's a sweetheart through and through.
You deserve
and he's
to be
your he's who?
I mean, he's my sister's... Essentially, he's going to be my brother-in-law.
Sister's boyfriend.
Sister's boyfriend. They had a baby
so
together.
So Pancake knows him
together.
Because he's at Twist. Okay.
Yeah, they live together. They have the kid together, all that kind of stuff.
And it took me forever to find out that he was dating Mary's sister. I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah, so. How long had you worked on him by the time you found out that he was dating
well,
Mary's
he kept
sister?
Saying that he was straight, and I didn't believe him. I'm like...
Nobody believes him. But I'm like,
you
when
work
you,
in a gay bar, it's
when
the
you're
Mecca.
Bartending in a gay bar and you're a good-looking dude, like, you're not going to be like, ew, girls, no, thank you, I'm straight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Yeah.
Of course. So he's pretty, is what you're saying?
Because he just kept passing me shots. I'm just like, girl, you didn't have to do it, but thanks. And then I'm like, all right, so what do you want? You know, do I got to sign a document? And he's like, no, I'm straight. I'm like,
oh, okay. Sign a document.
S that D, baby. No, sign that document. That's right.
Return to sender. Just for one shot? That's a lot.
Huh.
No, Poundcake's an easy fella.
Yeah, right?
You bought me a shot? I'll take one.
I'm trying to learn.
Trying to learn what?
I haven't been late in 2019 yet, so I'm learning.
That's only 31 days into the year. That is a long time.
That's a long time.
That's a whole month. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Wow. I just said it out loud. I haven't been late in 2019.
It's been cold.
That's no more
reason.
Yeah. I'm trying to help him. Yeah,
my change this weekend. No, I'm going out.
There you go. Where are you going?
I mean, you had the shot
Twist.
If you would have just gone to that guy's house, but you didn't want to leave your house.
True.
I've done that on principle before.
On a principal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving you some. You come
like a
to
high
me.
School principal?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was out of school, but you know, my cousin really needed to graduate.
I'm going to need you to change that A to a D if you get my drift.
If you get what I'm saying, maybe a D+.
don't even know what that means.
It doesn't mean it's all right.
No, like where it's like, okay, you have plans to go over to someone's house or they have plans to come over. And they're like, oh, I'm not going to go. I'm like, well, no, if you're not going to make the trip over here, then screw it. Yeah, that was the original plan. It's not worth it.
Okay.
And then you're also kind of seceding and then you're like,
that's why it pays.
Putting them in a position of like, oh, well, you'll do whatever I ask anyway.
That's why it's always good, always a great idea to date people who live in your apartment complex.
I have 6 apartments in my building. Mm-hmm. And
it's like your own little Melrose place.
No, there's a lesbian couple that lives upstairs. There's the apartment above mine, the lady only uses to bang her boyfriend because mm-hmm. she's married. And that's like her bang apartment.
Oh, right.
Apartment.
It's her stabbing cabin.
I know the other guy is like single and he's like an older dude and he's got a son in the military. I don't know the other one, but then the guy across the hall from me, he's kind of a strange dude.
You should have gone door-to-door selling Girl Scout cookies just to see what the inside of her stabbing cabin looks like.
I have a feeling
it has
like
nothing
bare minimum.
In it, right.
Like just a bed.
There's probably a mattress on the floor.
No, because I can hear it moving. It sounds like it's on wheels.
Oh, there's a frame. Okay.
Yeah. On wheels.
I can hear it, like, something's hitting the wall.
They like to do it in different rooms, and they don't want to.
Maybe she's just roller skating and working on a routine.
So just running into the wall.
So if you're married, how do you have an apartment and, like, not have your husband know about it?
I'm guessing she probably has some kind of a job that has cash.
Yeah,
or,
there are plenty of ways to do that.
And you it's a cheap place.
All your, you don't have to put all your finances together.
I just figure after a while, it's like you're getting utilities. I guess.
Or maybe. Okay. It's something they do to spice it up because they got kids or something, and they need a place to do it.
Oh, that's her husband? That they just go,
right.
I don't know.
A little pied a terre over there above Mary's garden apartment.
And they act like it's like they're strangers like hooking up. And
knock,
it's
knock,
really
knock.
Just a...
Might be.
We just don't
want to
step
maybe.
On toys.
It was... last night, my cat was acting super weird, and she was sitting right by my front door that I don't use. There's a front door that goes out to, like, get your mail and goes out to the front of the apartment complex.
We know what front doors are.
Okay. Well, I don't use this one. I don't use this for you.
What part of the building is it on?
The front.
Okay.
And she was acting like a crazy person. She was sitting and just screaming at the door, just meowing, meowing, just like that, incessantly. I'm like, what is going on with you? And then, like, I realized that I hadn't seen my neighbor across the hall in a couple days. And, like, I hadn't seen his car move. And I'm like, if that guy's dead across the hall. Because I feel like, don't animals sense stuff like that? Like danger
smell.
And smell and pheromones?
They say, but I've never spoken to an animal. So they haven't been able to confirm or
I don't know why that's the
me.
First thing I thought. I was like, she can smell his dead corpse. And now there's going to be a ghost in my apartment.
Well, you would smell a dead corpse.
That not if it's a polar vortex.
That doesn't need a highly refined sense of smell to smell a...
Is dead corpse dead? A little...
That's another
redundant.
One. That's another one of those. another one of those Harry Potter jelly belly beans.
Dead
Bean Boozled. Ooh, it's either egg or dead corpse. Dead corpse is redundant.
It was late. I was tired. I forgot I put laundry in, so like I took cold medicine and it had already kicked in. So I'm like a little delirious, just annoyed, and she's just sitting there yelling at the door. And I'm
got a lot of plates spinning in this scenario. There's a cat that might be meowing at a corpse.
Yes.
You've got laundry going, but you just guzzled some NyQuil.
It had already kicked in. I got home and took it and like sat down to write. And then I put laundry in and forgot to set an alarm. So I just didn't think about it. And then like 2 hours went by and I'm tired and I'm delirious and she's yelling at the corpse. And then I couldn't sleep because I was afraid that there's going to be a ghost in my apartment.
That's why you couldn't sleep?
Yeah.
Is that a real...
I've told you guys before that I believe in ghosts. We've
been
over this.
I know, but do ghosts... manifest that quickly? I imagine there's got to be some kind of bureaucracy if you believe in that, right? Like you don't just die and immediately start haunting
people.
He
might be panicked. So he's like, oh, this guy's dead now, I need somewhere to go.
There's got
to
be any
process in the closest apartment.
But doesn't he stay in his apartment?
I don't know if is as much of a hermit.
I think that the ghost haunts the apartment that they are in. They're not going to. They don't get access to the whole building.
Right. They're confined.
I don't know.
Only areas that he goes to. So if he's never been in your apartment, he doesn't get to go haunt your apartment. He can haunt areas that are common space.
He can haunt the Freddy Krueger zone.
But he cannot haunt anything that he didn't have access to.
Or maybe you have
ghost rules. The
I don't know.
Or maybe you have unfettered access, and that's why suicide is as rampant as it's ever been. Mm. Right. It could be just malaise with the curve. But if you know you've got some kind of vibe on this.
Also, very important to die in clothes that look good on you.
Because you're in them.
You're
that's
forever.
Your ghost clothes forever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a ghost wardrobe?
No.
Ghost robe?
No. But But that's why, yeah, it's weird because you'll never see, like, that's why I figure there's some bureaucracy, because you never see modern dress on ghosts. It's always like from the 1800s, or it's an old gunslinger, mm-hmm. or a lady who was a maid in a hotel.
Maybe, I don't know.
You never see, like, you know, there's never a ghost wearing Jordans or anything.
Or that are tatted.
Right, yeah, you know, ghost tattoos.
The attention, the attention whore ghost. At least she just has Supreme.
I don't know.
Doing ghost selfies.
It was one in the morning.
Follow me on ghost Instagram.
There's a lot going on in my apartment at 1 a.m, and I was, like you said, a lot of plates spinning, and I was concerned because people say that animals
they can sense things.
Yeah, sense yes. things like that.
Yeah.
And she's never done that before. She's never just sat and cried. She's not an outdoor cat. She
so you never confirmed what you didn't think it was.
I
just
didn't go out that door. I was like, I don't want to know what's out there. If there's something out there,
okay.
It's basically inviting the spirits in.
No come people.
On, no people.
You might want to get one of those.
Yeah.
Fish eyes.
Or just open the door real quick and see what's going on.
No, because ghosts can get in then.
Ghosts can go through doors.
You don't know that. You just made up the boundary act of ghosts or whatever.
Well, you're
but
not
it
inviting
could go
it
under
in.
Your door.
Yeah.
If or I open it. The door, I'm inviting it.
No. That's vampires, not ghosts.
Oh, well, those I don't have any garlic.
Vampires have to be invited.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to get my. You know, I
you have to get your
straight.
Apparitions and fake characters
straight.
Rules down. Yes.
I'm just going to stop taking so much NyQuil. And then we'll
I was going to say, is there a direct correlation between the cold medicine and the concern over ghosts?
Probably.
Okay. I wonder if there's like a governing body over otherworldly creatures. Because when you think about it, you're like, boy, vampires got the short end of the stick. Because werewolves can run around and do whatever they want to do. They can terrorize the countryside
but
or whatever.
Only when it's a full moon.
Right. But then they get the run of the place. Ghosts. I think most ghost lore has implied that they're intangible and can go through walls. I don't know if they're confined into whatever.
It depends on the situation, because like if you watched The Sixth Sense, then there was kind of rules to how
they're confined to the laws of physics. Like
in a way, yeah. Because they don't know they're dead.
Right. But then you have vampires who have to be invited in. Which seems very gentlemanly, you know, but they didn't have any control over that. Obviously, vampires would want to go wherever they want to go.
I thought you were goofing. I thought that was a part of the bit. That's real? You have to invite a vampire in your
house?
Yeah.
You never saw Salem's Lot or read the book or anything? He's like, you have to let me in. Or he's scratched on the window.
I remember that sound.
You have to invite me in.
Who would do that?
Vampires love parties. Well, they always want to be invited in.
Vampires are also, you know, you don't know it's a vampire, so you're just inviting someone in like you would anybody.
They have retractable fangs.
Well, but when the vampire's outside, he's bald and he's got the fangs. Like, you know, let me in.
Well, then you don't let him in. But when he looks like a regular person, you go.
And they're surrounded
come
by
fog. Come on in.
Yeah, hey, come on in.
Bats.
Vampire.
You become a bat. I don't know so much about vampires. I know a lot more about ghosts.
Because bats don't have to be invited in, because who's going to invite a bat? I mean, they're invited in, you know, they're in belfries.
Yeah.
Are belfries still a thing?
I don't know.
All right. Are there have to be. There's probably some belfries in Geauga County, right?
What is a belfry?
A belfry? Tower? Isn't it at the top of a barn? It's like it's where the bell is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Notre Dame, or if you got one up in your church.
A bell tower.
Well, it's the thing at the top that houses the bell.
Okay, the whole thing is a tower. The bell's belfries. Room in the tower is
right,
the belfry.
The belfry.
Got it. We're learning. We're learning so much today.
Yeah.
No, I have not invited a vampire in. But.
That you know of.
There's always more time.
Right.
No, I think there's been like maybe 10 people
in my apartment.
Well,
you're a single gal. You're out there doing stuff, right? I mean, there's.
Man, if I accidentally brought home a vampire. Yeah, mad I would be.
Why?
I accidentally brought home a vampire. Sounds like a Lifetime original movie.
Right.
Starring Tori Spelling.
An
accidental vampire.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't be fun.
Wouldn't be that bad.
Why,
I do have garlic in my fridge, though.
Okay.
I just take it. But it's like one of those prepared little jars, so I just like scoop my hand out and throw it at him. Does it have the same effect?
It's the little jar. It's the minced garlic?
Yes, it's the minced garlic. So I just like, and then get him.
You're like, it's great for vampires or tapenade.
Yeah.
Really made a delicious little spread. Right.
Maybe
I think it would still work. I don't think you have to have bulbs or cloves of garlic against vampires.
Take it and rub it.
Yeah.
Does garlic powder work?
I think so.
I have garlic powder.
Okay.
I think if there's essence of garlic in it, it will. Now,
so garlic bread?
I have garlic bread. I have so many garlic bread.
That's a good. Here's how you know that you'll never bring home a vampire. If you go out to dinner with someone, get garlic bread.
Garlic bread.
If they eat it, you're
not
good.
Not a vampire.
If they don't?
That's a vampire.
Well, let me ask you this. Would garlic breath repel a vampire? So you've gone out.
You garlic breath repels many people.
Let me tell you this. You don't need to kiss on the mouth to bring a guy home. I know that for sure. So that's garlic breath,
but
maybe.
Garlic
not.
Breath is very pervasive. You can talk to someone after a meal and they go, oh, God.
Are you bringing people home without kissing them?
No, it was a joke, Bill.
I'm just wondering.
She just walks up to him and says, what would you do if I unzipped your pants right now?
No, it's like real life Tinder. I'm like, left, 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 you. Come on.
You.
That's how it goes. You, done, right.
Yeah. She's Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. No kissing.
None.
Only downstairs stuff. Only downstairs
nothing
stuff.
Above the waist.
Literally, because I live in a basement.
There might be ghosts outside.
Yeah. Basement.
What's that banging noise up there? You just worry about the banging noise down here, all right?
That's Cheryl. She's going through some things.
Yeah.
I almost said her name.
She's got her boy toy up there.
Right.
It's close to Cheryl.
Meh.
Oh, you know her name?
Yeah.
You don't just call her Bang Lady or whatever? You know her name.
No, well, because I park in her spot. So I had to, like...
That guy does, too.
I put it in her garage, if you know what I mean.
Yeah!
My car parks into her garage space.
Okay.
And, so we met, and I... Hey, if you're not going to be around, you mind if I park here?
There's got to be a way to figure out what's going on. You go, hey... I think you might have rats up there. I always hear some kind of noise.
Well, she gave it to me.
By the way, have you trained those rats to scream your name? Because
well on ya. No.
Are you blackmailing your way into a parking spot?
No, not at all. I was parking there.
Are you
there.
Single white femaling her?
I'd be like, seems like you're not here that often, and I noticed
you got
a wedding ring. And
when I moved
in... Are you going to stiletto the guy in the eye? If you come in with like a short fire engine red bob...
One of the other guys who lives in the building was like, hey, you know, she's not around a lot. You could probably just park in her spot, no problem. So I started doing that, and then when she would come around, she'd be... aggravated that I was in her spot. So then I went over there one day when she was home, and I was like, hey, I just wanted to talk to you. You know, so-and-so told me it was okay. I want to run it by you. And she's like, well, thank you for talking to me. Yeah, I just wanted you to ask first. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, this is my second place. You know, I've got some stuff going on. And I was like,
my second place.
She's, she's probably in her 50s, and she's, like, tiny.
Oh, she's that old.
I would say she's probably late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah, I feel like you're giving a lot of details.
No one knows where I live.
Yeah. Maybe she's turning tricks.
Maybe.
Wow. Oh, I thought you meant it was like a suburban mom or something.
No.
Who was taking, you know, Birdcage Hank Azaria back to her house.
I could see her leaving like a yoga class and coming there.
Wow.
Take a quick little shower.
Yeah.
And then roller skating.
Yeah.
Wheels.
You made me laugh that was... Well, no, because I felt like I could hear it moving.
Is it a carpeted apartment?
It doesn't sound... No, it's hardwood floors.
Hardwood floors.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound...
So is she.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it you?
50.
No, it's not me.
Are you the...
Could you imagine yourself Bill sneaking out?
Wouldn't that be great?
The mister. He's the other man. Yeah.
I just see him like down the stairs like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I came to say hi.
He turns around and starts coming back up.
Right. Also, there you are. Get out of Cheryl's spot.
Right. Can we talk about this garage thing?
She asked me to come down and talk to you. I don't want to. Hey, Pilot Ryan.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, Michelle. Long time no see.
Hey, what's going on, Ryan? How are you?
Not much. I just wanted to share my almost ghost story I had literally just as you guys were talking about ghosts, courtesy of the show.
Yeah?
So I was driving, I was pulling into my garage, and there's a set of golf clubs that rests just in front of the hood of my car when I parked in my garage. I must have nudged, and so you guys were talking about, you know, ghosts, so ghosts around my mind. I must have nudged them, and as I looked down to my right, you know, the floor of the passenger side to get my groceries, my golf clubs nudged just out of my periphery, like they fell over in my periphery, and I collectively nearly crapped my pants.
You saw something moving. Ha!
Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's like a haunted nine iron or what?
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why I keep, you know, doing so poorly on the 13th.
Well, listen, it's a little known fact, but I do say a little prayer to myself before every daily broadcast. If just one person can crap their pants by the end of today's show, I will have done my job, Ryan. So,
mission accomplished.
Yeah, you almost got there. I appreciate the update, though.
Yes, most certainly.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, there's Pilot Ryan. I don't think we've seen him since the West Park bar crawl. A lot of people texting me their thoughts on the vampire situation, the ghost situation. vampire lore, people tell me, they have a compulsion to count things, hence the character on Sesame Street. So when you throw sand or salt at them, it stops them because they have to count the grains.
Really?
Oh.
So that's what this person says.
Are they? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Rain Man the vampire. Right.
Definitely going to suck your blood. Definitely going to suck your blood.
Turn 46,000 grains of salt.
Speaking of moaning, somebody posted a video. This is somebody in Hungary. Some people think it's fake. But a bathroom faucet that pipes can make weird noises.
Yeah.
This person says that when you turn on the hot water, it sounds like a man moaning. And it does sound like someone off camera is making the noise, but it's still funny if it's...
Are you cheating on me?
He's not even trying to make it sound believable. That's so fake.
He might have been just a voice man.
He's the man of 1,000 voices.
Greatest voice man that ever lived.
None of which will make you laugh.
But he never took a performance for granted.
Alan Cox.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Our little pound cake, who is at home, you sent me this clip here, Bill, and it feels like, as much as we give pound cake a hard time, that if you give anything he says enough time, it will work its way into the cultural bloodstream. And Bill sent me a clip of a guy named David Pollock.
Okay. Just the name.
What?
It's just the guy's name.
Who's over on College Game Day. Is this ESPN?
Yes, this is ESPN, and he's talking about the Coastal Carolina game, I believe.
Okay.
Which I have some trivia, because a customer sent this to me, and then I kind of copied what he wrote down, sent that to you, but then he also had some trivia to ask you, so I'm going to ask you that after we play this clip.
Okay. Let me find it. I just had it. Here, you guys talk to each other. I'm going to check something real quick, okay?
All right.
Yeah, sure.
It's quiet. See what's going on with this guy? He can't keep it together.
It's a mess.
There's few shows. What is there, like 7 shows left in the year?
8, I think, including today.
Including today?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he can't even get a simple clip to play.
Number one best radio show in Cleveland.
Right. I think it's time for a coup.
We need a recount. All right. Yes.
Yeah. We're nothing but support while you were gone.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate that.
Cox, everybody.
It was in there. I don't know why I couldn't find it, but at first blush, I couldn't. Why can't I still? Hold on. I know what I'll do.
Did you play it off the email that I sent?
No, because I had to pump up. There we go.
Okay.
I just had to refresh. I had to pop up the audio on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a guy talking about the BYU Coastal Carolina game. I've only heard of one of those schools. So I'll just play this clip here.
Yeah, we've talked about it all year long, adapt and improvise, right? And how about BYU taking this game on short notice, sending the trucks across the country before they even know this game was going to come to fruition?
Before they even knew this game was going to come to fruition.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Common mistake.
It is interesting that, I mean, you know, if you
is
get
that a
enough
professional
time,
broadcaster?
What's that?
I said, is that a professional broadcaster?
I mean, I thought so, but not anymore. You know, I don't. That is on ESPN?
Yeah, it's on ESPN. Yeah, that's...
Well, listen, there's a lot of dummies in professional broadcasting. But
especially sports.
Yeah, sure, of course. But what I'm saying is you should feel good that word in particular, fruition, which up till now we've only pulled off of the pound cake glossary. But it has worked its way at least onto an ESPN coverage.
Is that perhaps a way to send like a little signal out to people, pound cake? Like, hey, I use fruition. Meet me in the bathroom stall. I'll tap my toe. Come on in.
Like, sure.
Could this be he's like on the DL and that's like fruition is a way to let people know?
I'm okay with you guys making fun of me because everyone takes cracks at the trendsetter.
Trendsetter.
Listen, if that's how you want to think of it, I thought of it more as the decline of Western civilization. But yeah, cool. I mean, trendsetter.
I mean, it is trending. I'm ahead of the curve. It's trending that way.
It is. That's right. It's trendy. So now all we have to do is get all of the other made up pound cake words onto some kind of national broadcast. Because Fruition came very early in his glossary career. Was preceded only by Outroar.
Career.
No. You use your words, I'll use mine. It was preceded only by Outroar, Warbury, which he contends was given to him. So he was just passing that one along. And politely. So Fruition came very, very early.
Yeah.
If we can find somebody... Which in itself is a nice word.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it
rather politely. And to the best of my knowledge, you know, a lot of times people go, hey, that is actually a word. All right, cool. Well, you know,
it's full of politeness.
Full of politeness. If we could work one fatal swoop into one of these broadcasts, that would be great, too.
It's just a matter of time.
I mean,
and just a matter of coverage. Like, this was sent by a customer, Kevin. So if the customers are out there and they hear stuff like this, then they have to send it to us. And
grab it.
Yeah, we don't get everything just between the four of us, so we have to have a little help from the customers.
Yeah, of course. You know, we're not getting Baba Booey's or anything out there, so if a Fruition comes through,
let us know.
Also on ESPN, somebody needs to work in badminton.
God.
Do they broadcast badminton games over on ESPN? I know they do every other friggin' thing.
On the Ocho.
That was one of my favorite days. I love Bagmitten Day was such a good day.
And you have a game show called Ollie Ollie Auction Free.
Ollie Ollie Auction Free. That's right. Folly Ollie Auction Free. Petronome is one of his. Hubbabaloo.
That wasn't me. I think that was Christy Capel.
No, that was Jigaboo.
She said Jigaboo. You were Hubbabaloo. She didn't know what it meant, though.
And by the way, I think it probably worked out better for you. Of course, you could say that, I guess, if you want to. No, Hubbabaloo was absolutely yours. Christy Capel had to take a couple of days wearing the hair shirt. Authenticality, you threw that on there. Coffin Skate, we all love Coffin Skate. So if any of these work their way into national broadcasts, we would love to know about it.
Coffin Skate it.
Coffin Skate it.
Coffin Skating.
Because, as Bill said, we're not going to get to all of them. Docile instead of the word docile.
Mm-hmm. That's what we made him read out loud.
That's not even a made-up word. That's just a mispronounced word. Right. I like the made-up words. Of sound and mind. So, again, if you are a lawyer and you ever have the opportunity to write up Poundcake's will, please put in there, I, Cody Allen Brown, of sound and mind, do hereby bequeath...
At the tip of my lips.
Yes.
From the tip
on the tip of my lips, I hereby bequeath my gastronomical trolley horse. These won't all be handy downs, but there'll be some. You'll need someone also to put that legal document into language terms. Once it's all over. So anyway, but the long and the short of it is that Fruition was on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question becomes, do I cross that off of his list?
No.
Put a star by it. That a star indicates it's been used by another broadcaster.
There you go. All right. That's a good notation.
I like that.
Now we just got to get managerial or balsamic. On one of the cooking. See, there's a place for each one of these.
Yeah.
Balsamic could be on the cooking channel. The Great American Bake Off.
Warbury is on HGTV, maybe?
Something.
They got to be out there.
Warbury was a wardrobe, right?
Warbury was wardrobe.
Got it.
Reluctant instead of reluctant. If we could, I never watched Supermarket Sweep as a kid, but my wife loved that show, and they rebooted it with Leslie Jones.
Yeah.
So we've been watching the rebooted Supermarket Sweep, which is very entertaining.
Yeah.
But it's basically a half-hour commercial for products, right?
It's silly,
yeah, mm-hmm. But if we could get her to say conveyor belt on Supermarket Sweep, you'd really be on to something there, right? You'd turn a minus into a plus, Cody. And there's nothing wrong with nothing. Well,
you want royalties on these?
All right. Do you want this little bit of trivia, Alan? This is from Kevin.
Do I want trivia?
Yeah.
Of course I want trivia.
All right. He said, side note for a bit of trivia for Alan. Coastal Carolina are the Chanticleers. Curious to know if Alan knows what book and author they got their name from.
Okay. Give it to me again.
It's the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, and they got that name from a book. And he wanted to know if you knew the book and the author.
Do I know the... I do not.
Can you spell Chanticleer?
I think, because I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. I've never seen this word before. Chanticleers.
That is... Ralph Waldo Emerson.
No.
That was a really good... No, I don't.
Yeah, I didn't know this either. It's from Canterbury Tales, Geoffrey Chaucer.
Hmm. Well, that's a Chanticleer. It's not a Canticleer.
Well, he spelled it Chanticleers.
That's Chan in Chaucer.
Oh, he might have misspelled
it. It's not Geoffrey Chaucer. It's Geoffrey... leave out your H's, you leave out a lot. Well, maybe they... Again, just because they spell it differently doesn't mean they didn't get their name from it, so you're right. I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they might be the Chanticleers. I don't know.
I see.
That's what you put over your dining room table.
It is. They're
really
the Chanticleers. He got it wrong. C-H-A-N-T-I-C-L.
Oh, the T is the Chanticleers.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So try and get this trivia where I got it wrong.
What is a chandelier? What is a thing that hangs over your... Yeah, okay.
I want to swing from the Chanticleer.
Yeah, I don't know what a Chanticleer is, but there are a lot of things I don't know what they are.
But would you have gotten it anyway?
If it was Chanticleer?
Yeah, Chanticleer from Charles. Yeah, yeah, from Canterbury Tales.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like we had to read Canterbury Tales.
Everybody did.
Yeah, that was a high school thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of classic books that I never read that I'm trying to read as an adult, because for whatever reason, if you took AP English at my school... They wanted you to read, like, super dense, weird books, so I never got to read books that a lot of people have read.
Yeah.
People who don't like to read have read these books.
Yeah.
And so I got to go back. Like, I've never read...
To Kill a Mockingbird?
Never read To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah, that's a
Great
good one.
Gatsby. What are ones we
never read
to?
The Great Gatsby. I mean,
you've never read To Kill a Mockingbird? That's a great book.
That's what my wife, Gwen, goes, God, you never read... I go, no, we were reading, like, Sartre and all these, I guess, our AP English staff thought, you guys should really know your, Chinua Achebe books.
At bookstores, they have sections for, like, classic literature like that. Like, those short stories you read in high school, and they're, like, $7 a piece. Like, they're not... I mean, I'm sure you can probably find them online for free or something, but
I'm literally,
they're everywhere.
Because I'm going to give myself a pass, because I never did it in school... I'm just grabbing the Spark Notes of all these books.
Yeah.
Cliff's Notes, I'm just going to read on all these books. I'm going to go, yeah, I read that book, sure.
I struggled a lot with Shakespeare in high school.
I love Shakespeare.
What were they called? It was like, not Shakespeare for Dummies, but it had like the Shakespearean on one side of the page and then
the translation
on the other. And then I made it through like two plays or whatever without that, and I was like, man, Shakespeare's stupid, this sucks. And then when I got like the modern English translation, I'm like, this guy's hilarious. Like, so, some of the things he said, like A Midsummer Night's Dream,
yeah,
I was like, that became my favorite one, because I'm like, this is funny, this is like fast paced, you know. But those things saved my life when we were doing Shakespeare.
I think it's funny that people have been trying to debunk Shakespeare ever since, though. They're like, this wasn't one guy, and what do I know? Maybe it wasn't, maybe it was like Banksy, like a collective of people, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, all these books that like friends of mine were like, you know, like To Kill a Mockingbird, you never read that? I'm like, no. I had to read Catcher in the Rye on my own, like recreationally, because it was never assigned to us.
Animal Farm?
George Orwell.
Did you have to read that one?
I read that one.
It recreationally.
Oh, yeah.
I reread a lot of these because I didn't really absorb them well when I read them as a like student.
Of Mice and Men?
Yeah, had to read that.
Okay. That's a short one. That was only like 100 pages.
Don't remember.
It's pretty short, but To Kill a Mockingbird is not very long either. Like, that's one that you could probably tear through pretty quickly.
In a day.
I remember reading Grapes of Wrath.
I never read that one. That wasn't part of our...
That was a long one.
Yeah.
We did a whole semester on Edgar Allan Poe. Well, maybe not a whole semester, but it felt like a long time on Edgar Allan Poe, and I fell in love with him. I was like, this guy's dark. This guy had a past. He died in a gutter. Like, you know?
I actually just recently got a book of Edgar Allan Poe's poems.
This is why women are weird. He's got a past and he died in a gutter. What a heartthrob.
No, I don't mean I loved him like that. I just was drawn to him as like a person.
She likes those stinky guys.
Yeah.
That's what she's...
Gutter man. Da-da.
Into. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Brent.
Brent, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, if you haven't checked it out yet, you guys need to look up Thug Notes on YouTube. If you're trying to get the gist of all those books you haven't read yet, Black Eye on YouTube just gives you out the gangster version of those books.
Oh, Thug Notes. Oh, I thought you said Pug Notes. I'm like, dog read them to me?
Thug Notes on YouTube. Check it out, man. It's hilarious. And also, just want to let you know, the Browns are 9-3, and Epstein still didn't kill himself.
Hell yeah, dude. You get it.
You know what? I'll take that. First time in 25 years I read, right? Mm-hmm. That the Browns have been 9-3?
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Good for them. Baker Mayfield, boy, who'd have thunk?
Did it.
This kid.
Great game yesterday.
He's
underrated.
Huh?
He's overrated. That's what people
overrated.
Say.
Overrated. Mm-hmm. Well, but even so, they were like, going into this game, they were like, well, their schedule. There were still plenty of naysayers, mm-hmm. but they were both 8-3 teams, and these guys rolled over them from what I came in like halfway through the second quarter and watched.
I mean, the Titans were in the title game last year. The
championship game?
The AFC championship game, yeah.
I like Steve Kornacki breaking it down. They threw him over there for the NFL. You know who Steve Kornacki is?
Yes.
He was a guy that
watched him a lot at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, election night. Yeah. And leading up to the election, Steve Kornacki over there for NBC, he was kind of their prognosticator. And then as more and more people got to know who he was.
Map Daddy.
They called him the chart throb. Yeah, this guy would be out there in front of. He's like a better looking Nate Silver as far as your prognosticators go. And he was going over the team's futures in the playoffs, the likelihood of them being into the playoffs.
Playoff probabilities. We're talking about that in December. Take a look at what that win did in the NFC playoff picture for the Giants. They came into the day barely a 30% chance of making it, now up to a 45% chance. And by the way, that could get higher tomorrow unless Washington finds a way to beat Pittsburgh tomorrow. Expect that Giants number to grow further. Also, by knocking off Seattle, Seattle falls to the fifth spot right now. Still overwhelmingly likely Seattle will be in the playoffs, but at this point, what they get now would be a date with the Giants, at the Giants in the playoffs, if this were to hold. The other thing in the NFC, the other big movement, Arizona, by losing that game to the Rams today, they fall out of the playoffs at this point to number 8.
By the way, Terry the Goat did not have a good week.
Terry the Goat's had a bad couple of weeks.
If she
3 weeks in a row, I feel like she's had some tough picks.
If she nails the two Monday night games and tomorrow night's game, she'll be at 500.
All right, let me ask you this, though.
But otherwise, right now, she's like 3-6.
Did she predict the Giants beating the Seahawks?
I don't think she picked that game.
Okay, because that was a pretty big upset right there.
Giants over the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Right. And the Jets are 0-12.
Yep.
Still winless. Fired their DC because of
our former DC, and he just... That was a ridiculous game, and that's one where you're like, okay, they're just trying to get the number one pick.
Because, were they just throwing it at this point?
Like, it was ridiculous. Like, the call on that play was ridiculous for them to be... They needed a touchdown to win. The Raiders needed a touchdown to win, and they got, like, a 70-yard touchdown with, like, 5 seconds left, where normally you're going to be in, like, a prevent defense. You give them all the yards you can up front, but you've got to protect the end zone. And that's not the play that they had. They had one-on-one coverage with the fastest receiver on the field, and they just
gave up a touchdown.
Yeah, basically. And then the guy got fired.
Baltimore sitting back there in ninth place. Almost the same chance, 47% for Baltimore, 51% for Miami. Why? Baltimore has the easiest stretch run schedule in the league. Miami, meanwhile, they're playing Kansas City next week, so they've got a much tougher schedule. And we got to mention this one, the Cleveland Browns, they pull the upset against Tennessee. It's not quite 100%, but they are 97% of the way to the first one in 18 years.
97%. Likely for the playoffs. Exciting. Look at that.
And if there's any team that can...
Don't even...
snatch defeat from the jaws of victory?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. They have been... they've done a real good job so far of unbrowning the Browns.
Yeah.
This season, you know, every game. I feel like people are starting to legitimately feel confident rather than just hedging their bets or trying to play it safe. They'll screw it up somehow. I feel like now people are like, oh, like we're getting used to them winning against
it's
other
teams. Cool.
Yeah, winning, and they're doing it in a, you know, that game was another one where it was closer, the score was closer than the actual game was. Because the Titans got a few garbage touchdowns in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't close.
So the only teams, according to Steve Kornacki, who, by the way, really sounded like he knew what he was doing there, too. I didn't know if he was just kind of, if they gave him some numbers and then he kind of did his analysis thing or what, but it sounded like he knew what was going on.
Well, he knows the probabilities.
Only team more likely, percentage-wise, to be in the playoffs there, Pittsburgh and Kansas City, which are two, obviously, juggernaut teams.
Mm-hmm.
11-0. For the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But Bill, if there were some way,
there were some way to
banished into Jumanji, right? And perhaps
all in one.
Are you trying to make us all uncomfortable? Gross, it's weird, it's not right, it's not cool.
And there's plenty more where that came from. Back to the Alan Cox Show on 100.7 WMMS.
Remember the lady who was having an affair with the ghost, this British lady?
Oh, yeah.
Remember her? We played her. This is a woman who claimed that she slept with at least 20 ghosts. And for people who think that American television is too stupid, you've never seen English television or Australian television. British woman has slept with at least 20 ghosts.
What a spiritual skank.
I know. She's a polter slut. She says she's now engaged to one of them. Her name is Amethyst Realm. I'm sure her real name. She said that she, when last we left her, she was cheating on her fiancé with a ghost. I'm sure the fiancé was real broken up about that.
Hope she doesn't have genital Hogwarts.
I never experienced that. Some ghost D? Like what?
Ghost D.
Well, actually, I have. I've had it. The dude's just ghost.
Yeah.
D-ghosted.
You got Casper, yeah. Bro.
That's what Verique Greer is. Ghost D.
Yeah, seriously. That's all you have.
Okay. Not all I have, okay? Got options.
You think you get laid walking around in that outfit tonight?
I got laid in my Winifred Sanderson costume last year.
That's different. That's gross, actually, now that you mention that out loud.
Is it keep the wig on?
With the wig?
Keep the wig on.
If you wanted to snatch it off, I was like, no, you don't want to do that.
God, you're going to pull out your tracks. Yuck.
That was a cheap ass wig too. That wig has seen some better days.
By the end of the night, I was sweating so much, like it literally was. The hairs were like hanging down, and it stuck together pretty well. But like
just tendrils in his face, yes! Of red hair.
I was like, no more getting juice out of this. Mm. Smelled like a army helmet afterwards.
That Dracula costume is going to be like the Lewinsky dress by tomorrow. Better hang that somewhere in case they need it for exhibit.
It already has like. You know, the blood stains.
You put blood stains on it?
Well, I didn't do the full makeup today because I had interviews to conduct over at my day job, and they were having Halloween.
You still were in costume. Oh, the blood was too much?
Yes, I asked. I said, can I put the face makeup on? He's like, no, that'd be a distraction.
Wait, you had to do face-to-face interviews?
That's what he does all the time.
That's what he does.
I thought he was on the phone.
He does, but like he also chat. Will video chat and have some people come in to qualify them for jobs.
Yes, I do the initial call, which is like a phone screen, so I just go over your work history and stuff like that. Then when you actually get interviewed, they come into the office and it's like a Skype interview. I see them, they see me.
So even though you had interviews with people face to face, you still wore your Halloween costume?
Correct.
It's Halloween.
But they're conducting business.
Well,
these are people trying to get a job, and they're talking to a guy dressed up as Dracula.
That's why he said I couldn't wear my face makeup.
Do you think I'll get the job?
Perhaps.
Do they make any special pumpkin fajitas today?
Oh my gosh, we had an all-out party. Like, they had everything.
So these were Skype interviews, not face-to-face.
Yes, but they could still see me.
Well, no, that's what I mean. But at least it wasn't the indignity of them looking at you in a chair across from you, getting up, walking away. And I'll see you to the elevator, sir.
Yeah.
Blackula walks him down the hallway.
Oh, she's like, ooh,
Skype.
Hello.
Yeah.
I would have made a really nice potluck option if my husband was still employed there.
All right, but that's not my fault.
I
just wanted the bacon covered dates, man. Leave me alone.
I mean, those people.
What do you mean by those people?
The people that you interviewed, they've all got that story now. What was your weirdest job interview?
I got interviewed by Dracula.
A guy dressed up as Dracula interviewed me for a job one time.
I always like when someone refers to a vampire as a Dracula.
Dr. Acula interviewed me.
And then I was like,
spit out my water.
I was so excited for, like, to get my food. We were waiting in line because everyone brought, like, a dish, and so it was a potluck. And I'm just sitting there dancing. They're like, all right, start voguing. And so this girl started filming me that I work with. And so she was calling me Dragula because I was just doing, like, you know, all the hand motions and being very flamboyant. So they got a kick out of that.
Or they were a big Munsters fan. How old were they?
Adults?
Yeah. Like middle-aged?
No. Maybe.
I was pretty young over there.
30.
Yeah. Okay. So probably not the Munsters then.
Probably not the Munsters.
All right. Anyway.
No matter what, it wasn't the Munsters.
It wasn't?
Yeah.
Okay. This woman is in love with a ghost.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her.
Yeah.
What's up with her these days?
Is she pregnant by a ghost?
She says that she's engaged to a ghost.
Oh, wow. How'd he propose?
Said that he... Well, I'll let her tell the story.
Channels to the other side.
I do, yeah.
And this is a channel that, well, you really connected with.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Yeah. This person, this presence, can you tell us anything about him, her, it?
I refer to it as him, because that's easier.
Yeah.
It's very ancient, very wise, very kind.
Ancient.
Has been on the planet before?
I would say for a very long time.
Why do we assume that because something's really old, it's really wise? There were morons in ancient times, too, you know? Yeah.
They're probably a lot dumber back then, because they know how to read.
They know anything.
Not a lot of people could read a long time ago.
He's very wise, very ancient.
Oh.
He's seen some things.
He's a moron, that is what you're saying.
Yeah. So when did you first encounter this presence?
The Chiron, in her interview, by the way, on the screen, says, Amethyst Realm has been dating a ghost for 6 months.
That's still really fast to get engaged, too.
Even
if it's a ghost.
Right.
Baby, I got eternity. What's the
rush? At
least
spend a year.
Mm-hmm. Time and space mean nothing to me anymore. I don't know this 6 months of which you speak. You're down there, baby. I'm out. I'm zipping around the universe. Come on, man. I can't be tied down. Literally, I cannot be tied down. I'm an apparition.
Alia,
figment of your imagination.
And I was taking a walk out in the bush, and just suddenly it approached me.
And is this something you can see, or just something you feel?
Now it's taking a walk in her bush.
Just like a physical, an emotional sort of physical presence.
Why was this one different? Because you've had these kind of encounters before, Zaman said you're a medium. So why was this so personal? Why was it the feeling different for you?
Because I fell in love with it, I guess. It's for one.
But
these are terribly lonely people, and I do feel badly for them to some degree.
They're like pound cake.
Hopefully, pound cake's not like this. It's not pound cake. No, he's not in telling us.
First of all, I'm not making up fake boyfriend names.
But he's not telling us he's engaged to him either.
Absolutely
not. We're not getting a wedding invitation.
They haven't been together for 6 months yet, Alan.
That's true.
I require 24 months.
It's a little soon. I require 24 months from any fake boyfriend.
Or 2 years.
Before he gets down on his fake knee.
You know, none of us expect to hear this story. Did you expect this story to happen in your life, doing what you do as a spiritual guidance counselor?
No, not at all.
A spiritual guidance counselor.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, you can go to vocational school, but I think you'd be best served as a medium. I want to marry and start
a large.
A large. Mm-hmm. She looks like a small, actually.
No. Mm-hmm. Nice.
So tell me, when you and he... talk. What do you talk about?
It's really difficult to explain.
Because you have to make it up.
Because I'm making it all up as I sit here and talk to you. It's not, he doesn't speak to me so much in words as in feelings in my head. She said they were celebrating their 9-month relation at England's Wookiee Hole Caves. And that's when he popped the question.
In terms of normal, like, earthbound relationships, it's a bit deeper than that. We don't have a need for conversation. It's more just like about emotion and feeling and connection.
But you may be feeling and connecting a bit more than you know, more than that, because you feel that you're going to connect to such a degree.
Shame on this guy for feeding into this.
He's
feeding in.
Because otherwise you're getting in trouble for slut-shaming a woman who's making up
sex
with ghosts.
You're not slut-shaming her. You're
ghost shaming her.
He's going to conjure him up for like the wedding. Like, how do you do that? Do you spirit take this bitch? Like, how are you going to do it?
Do you spirit take this bitch?
Like, that's exactly what would be said at the wedding.
You're going to have to like conjure him up.
I definitely want to go to Poundcake's wedding. Do you, Cody, take this bitch to be your lawfully wedded husband?
Probably will be because he's a sissy boy.
Do you, Poundcake, take this sissy boy? At that point, they're just going to call him Poundcake.
You will have a spiritual or physical baby?
I hope so.
Baby.
What yeah. Spiritual or physical?
Well, I would hope physical. So I've been looking into phantom pregnancies, and I believe that a phantom pregnancy is actually a real pregnancy, but you have a phantom inside you rather than a human baby. And the reason we don't ever manage to carry those to full term is because the people that have them don't understand this or sort of comprehend that that's possible. But I'm hoping through understanding what's going on with my body, I'll be able
to... I do understand, so I know that I'll be carrying my phantom baby to full term. Lord.
It was a fart. It was not a baby.
Oh, I feel I can feel a phantom baby in me.
She's going into labor. I see it crowning. Oh, there it is. Oh, it's a brown baby boy. Congratulations.
Would you be able to actually deliver a physical baby? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I'm not sure what it will turn out like, but you believe that.
Boy, for a woman who's had 20 affairs with ghosts, she sure doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah,
she
really
think
isn't.
Her answers would be pow, pow, pow.
Her gender reveal party would just require two balloons being popped. But like, hey,
there's nothing inside of
it. The baby's a phantom.
She said there was no going down on one knee. He doesn't have knees. But for the first time I heard him speak, I could hear his voice. It was deep and sexy and real. Right. Always a deep, sexy voice.
I like how she had to qualify with real.
And real, yes.
And real. It really happened, yeah. I swear.
It's never like, oh my ghost, I long to marry you. Hello. You don't hear a lot of songs singing about slaves anymore, you know? They don't really ever mention them in popular music.
Days never finished. Master got me working. Someday Master set me free.
I like when Poundcake sings along with the drops. Mm-hmm. That's always fun.
Yeah, that's Poundcake's song. You should just get a drop of Poundcake singing it.
Yeah. So, I don't know how old she is, but she did a pretty good job there.
Good.
Yeah. Chris Cornell, what a goddamn loss, man. You know, listen to the radio these days, you're like, oh, that guy's dead. Oh, that guy's dead. Oh, that guy's dead. Not even like the old dudes. Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington.
Mm-hmm.
Wish that guy was dead. You're listening, depending on the station
Some of
you're
them.
On. Mm-hmm.
Kurt Cobain, you know, he'd be 50-something.
You never wish death upon anybody.
I'm kidding.
Poundcake wishes death on people all the time.
See, I talk about hitting bitches, and I'm wrong. And she talk about she wishes people were dead, and she's kidding.
There's no one on the planet you wish was dead.
No.
Not one person.
No.
Not somebody murdered your mom, you wouldn't wish they were dead?
I mean, that's anger in that moment, but that's not, I'm not going to...
Did your uncle murder your aunt?
No, my blood uncle murdered my aunt-in-law.
That not one person, because I can think of one specific person right now.
I know who you're thinking.
One person specifically springs to mind, and I'm not.
Are you talking about the guy that was at Chipotle that was reaching over the glass? Because that's who I'm thinking of.
No, that I don't know. I don't know that guy. Yeah. No,
reaching over the glass to point.
Yes, to point to the toppings and stuff that he wanted at Chipotle.
First
he's
of all,
going,
that
he's
was.
Going, I want rice and I want beans and I want chicken and over the glass. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
That was unconscionable before. Why would anyone do it now?
This was a while ago.
Ridiculous.
But I hope he's
As if, like, the people don't know what beans look like and rice.
Right. I don't, there's glass
unless
there, and
he
you
doesn't
can see
know
through
the name.
It.
Unless he doesn't know the names of the things. Could he be that stupid?
He is the stupidest person I've ever seen.
I want the tiny round black things.
I want those over, not that to the right.
He was saying it all out loud.
He puts up the L's on his fingers.
He was reaching over to point at everything, and it was I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Did the person behind the counter say something to him? Like,
they're like looking at him like, hey,
bro.
Like, what are you? They just kind of gave him a look, and like it was over quickly. But I still think about that guy.
Older guy, younger guy.
Every day.
He got extra white rice.
He was like probably around my age.
Sour cream. And cheese, that's all he got.
You think about this guy every day.
Yeah, because I'm dead.
Wow.
There you go.
Well, that's a guy.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, well.
I wish a lot, there's some people in my life, there's probably three people in my life that I wish I never met, that I'm like, I just wish you weren't a person in my life.
But
I don't necessarily, I don't want them to be dead, but I wish they weren't in any way able to ever be in my life again.
To exert influence over whatever you do.
Yeah, just to be, I wish you would move far away and I'd never have to hear from you ever again.
I assume you've cut them out, though, of your immediate circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's, I don't wish it.
They pop back up from time to time?
Or? Yeah, you'll see them, you hear something about them and you're like, oh, I just wish that wasn't a person. I wish she lived not here.
Right.
You know?
She.
Two she's and a he. Three people that I've felt that way where I'm like, why do you even exist around me? Like,
I gotcha.
I want you to not live in my city.
Yeah.
That's not wishing they were dead. Just go have a life somewhere else.
I'll tell you what here. What's happening?
This thing opened that wasn't supposed to open.
He was watching his own fart again.
Yeah. people have a lot to say about my girlfriend's butt from Friday.
What you should do is you should start your own city.
I like
because
this
you
city.
Go. I wish this person wasn't in my city, except it's not your city. It's
okay.
Our city. All right, but if you did have a city, you could absolutely articulate who can and cannot be admitted to your city. You go. I wish this person wasn't part of my city, and now they don't have to be.
Mayor
Get
city.
The hell out. Yeah. Mayor
of Mayor City.
Yeah, that's right.
Mayor City is how you have to say it, though.
Well, however you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Figure that out.
Lots of happiness.
And then make sure, well, whatever you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That person is just excluded from all of it.
Yes.
It'll have the full spectrum of human experience. There'll be sadness and joy. Pump it up, and pain. Sunshine and rain.
Some rain. You need rain. Rain makes corn. Corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes my baby feel a little frisky. So, gotta have rain.
Right. All that
Who's
stuff.
Who's saying that?
Luke Bryan.
Oh, he stole it from Connie.
No, he did not.
Easy did.
Connie Twa Swaddle Cunflump.
Yeah.
If memory serves, as I was searching this weekend for some of her early work.
She's the only concert allowed in Mare City.
Oh.
No, that's a lie. Only country music. No, people won't live there.
But you could specifically say that that person was not welcome.
Can you do that, or do I have to go around about, like, legally, do I have to go a roundabout way to make, like, to live in my city, you couldn't have done this, and this in your life? And
how
it's very
much
specific to
would
them.
You be, if someone were to say to you, and this is, here's a hypothetical, someone were to say to you, I will make this person cease to exist. No one will ever know what happened to them, and no one will ever know that you gave the green light. How much would you pay for that? How much is that worth to you?
I wouldn't pay for that, but I would take the opportunity if it were free.
Free? Nothing like that's going to be free.
So basically putting them in the witness protection program.
I mean, free, even most rational people would think of one person they'd want to off. Even Poundcake was free. He could
How
come up with
I
one
pay
name.
For this person to never be in my life again.
How much is it worth? No. They're gone. They're not in anyone's life.
Well, I don't want that.
Oh.
I'm fine with them having a life.
That's no fun.
Away from everything that
and
I
that's
can.
The thing.
I don't even want it. Here's the way I want them away is I don't even want the option of maybe to run into you at the grocery store.
Like, yeah.
I want you so far away from
me. I mean, I would never have anyone killed, but boy, there are a handful of people where I wish they would take the initiative to do it themselves.
See, you really think that? You really are that invested for hatred for someone?
It sounds like you've never had someone who's tried to ruin your life.
No, because I don't bother anybody.
Well, it's got nothing to do with it.
It's not about
some people
bothering
are just
people.
Crazy people.
Yeah.
I know.
You're fortunate in
so,
that.
Yeah, I'm fortunate
also, there's another person that I'd want gone.
long line at a Target. Long line.
So these are all retail offenses to you, yes. Or basically you've got a ticker in your head of people, of strangers who somehow wronged you in a retail setting.
Long line.
Yeah.
Long line Larry, we'll call him.
Yes.
All right. Now, are they all, in this scenario, are they all standing 6 feet apart?
No, this is in the before times.
Ah, gotcha, okay.
Before the sickness.
Yeah, well,
before
it is. Before.
So, there's a long line. Everybody's in the, it's early-ish in the morning, so they have the checkout lines, like the check-yourself out lines mm-hmm. open, and then one register open, but everybody's in the same line. And the lady at the checkout counter goes, I can help whoever's next. And everybody's in the same line, and this guy just buzzes past everybody and walks up and goes, I was next. And I go, no, you weren't. He's like, well, everybody else is in line for the self-checkout. I'm like, it's all one line, sir, and you are not next. He's like, well, I'm here now. And I was like, ooh, I wish he was dead.
How much would you pay for Alan's scenario that he's gone forever?
Do I get to do it myself?
You seem like you want to do this for free.
Yeah.
You would spend your own money to do it.
I want this guy doesn't...
And you were the only person to say something to him?
Yeah.
Boy, people get chatty at the weirdest things, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that happens, a scenario where most people can agree, hey, that ain't right, get back in line.
Yeah.
People are not a peep from people. But you see somebody not wearing a mask, and all of a sudden...
The lady at the...
You start screaming.
Yeah. I guess I'm
high
the lady.
School kid. But, no, I don't even mean you. I just mean a whole line of people who apparently... Didn't say anything. Because that's a situation where it's not hard to say,
it's
yo,
early
bro,
in the morning and
get
people,
back in line.
People are just minding their business.
Well, and people
this guy
are passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to start a fight. I've gotten more vocal about that kind of stuff in recent years.
I'm,
the last few years,
I'm
I've been like, hey, man, come on, don't do that.
Like, I'm very vocal about that kind of stuff
Do
now.
You guilt trip them or do you just straight yell at them? Because I guilt trip. I'll be like, come on, man, don't look at all these people.
I just straight
doing?
Tell them what they're doing wrong.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just get dad voice on
them. So you yell, yeah.
Not yell. Just stern.
Stern.
Yeah. I like in this situation, I go, sir, there was a line and you just cut in front of four people. And he's like, I didn't think it was the same line. And I go, it was the same line and you just cut in front of four people. And he was just like, oh, I didn't know anything. I'm like, don't play stupid. You
Ignorance is no
wrong.
Excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I'm telling you now.
How do you not know how lines work, sir?
Right. I'm telling you now. So do the right thing and get to the back of the line.
I love when people play dumb mm-hmm. all of a sudden. Everybody,
I didn't know.
So, okay, well, guess what? I'm telling you.
Now
I'm
you
informing
know.
You. Now you know. Get your ass back in line.
Proving what one man can achieve with an utter lack of charisma.
One of the great achievements of our time.
Alan Cox.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Shiny car, your face in the wind and your hair cuts in, friends to kill bizarre. You may find a cushy job and I hope that you go far. If you really want to taste some cool success, then learn to play guitar. Play guitar! Play guitar! Oh yeah! Play guitar.
You know where New Lebanon, Ohio is?
Do. Why do I know that?
Near Dayton, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody is selling a haunted guitar.
Hey.
A haunted acoustic guitar is being sold for the low, low price of $666. There's an app that I use sometime to sell gear. It's called Reverb. It's great for just musical gear and recording stuff. And there's somebody. The American Vintage and Boutique Music Emporium, rolls right off the tongue, there in New Lebanon, Ohio, has posted this guitar to the Reverb app. A rare and possessed guitar. A kid that lived on my street when I was growing up was rumored to be into devil worship, Aleister Crowley, black magic, you know, all that stuff that you learned from Led Zeppelin. And he was born in June of 66 and died tragically on Halloween night, 1979, when he was only 13 years old. His death has never been solved. Who knows if any of this is true? This guy's trying to move a guitar, okay? But they said that they found the kid lying on his bed with this guitar next to him. And he had apparently been electrocuted, even though this is an acoustic guitar. And so the guy is trying to get rid of this guitar. He says, since I've owned this guitar, I've heard the strings ring out when I wasn't playing the guitar.
Ooh.
He said, on three other occasions, I put the guitar in my bedroom closet, only to find it on my bed when I returned home.
Also, I'm a blackout drunk, but that has nothing to do with it.
And the final straw occurred when I saw the guitar levitate out of the trash can that I had put it in. Oh, my God. So, who knows? But it's $666 if you want to buy it on Reverb. And it's out of New Lebanon, Ohio.
A friend of mine who's a comedian, he, if anybody saw me headline at Hilarities in 2019, my buddy Alex Price, he's a huge person. He's like 6'8", 6'9". Mm-hmm. Can't really, once you see him, you don't really forget him. But he has this whole bit that's based in reality where he goes on like garage sale websites and apps like Reverb and he just trolls people and asks them if their stuff is haunted. And he gets into fights with people who are like, what are you talking about? No, it's not haunted. It's a baby crib. And he's like, but is it haunted? Like,
that's the only question he asks.
That's the only question he asks.
Is it haunted?
And he goes, and he'll go back and forth with these people. He's like been banned from like over 100 garage sale Facebook groups because he does that all the time.
It's amazing that anybody can sell anything on these apps. I'm on these apps and you'll post something that you're already probably taking a loss on just because you want to move it. And they'll be like, would you take $50? I'm like, no, I won't take $50. It's a steal at like $500 or whatever I've got on there, you know? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, but
my 28-hour work week brother called me the other day. And he's like,
you mean work day, brother?
Oh, sorry, yeah, 28-hour work day. I have a 28-hour work week. Yeah. He called me the other day and he was like, hey, I saw these dolls that we really want for sale on Facebook Marketplace that's in Westlake. Will you go pick them up for me? And I was like, yeah, sure. 10 minutes from my house, no problem. He goes, okay, then can you drive them down to Columbus? He's like, can you drive them down on Saturday? I was like, no. He's like, seriously, we could hang out for the day. It'll be a night. You could see your nieces and we can have lunch. I'm like, I'm already.
He's dangling the nieces in front of you.
Well, I'm like, I'm already driving.
They're not even my favorite nieces.
I have so many anyway. No. I was like, I'm already doing you the favor to go get them. I was like, I'll ship them to you. But I'm not driving 4 hours round trip to get you these $8 dolls. Like, yeah. You're out of your mind. He's like, oh, man, I really thought. I was like, why don't you come up here and get them if someone's got to drive? Man, he does stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
He's got to work.
You're
so
right.
he's working.
The haunted paranormal ghost guitar is $666 on Reverb there from New Lebanon, Ohio.
Behold, a fiendish masterpiece. From the bowels of hell!
Yeah.
Mondays, boy, I hate Mondays. They make me be so steamed. Weekends, I go for the weekends! Son of a bitch!
Will Ferrell as the devil, trying to get Garth Brooks to sell his soul to him, and his songs all stink. Classic, classic. SNL bit.
Hey, Garth Brooks, not all his songs stink.
No, the devil's songs all. Garth Brooks, I mean, I'm not into it.
He's got bangers.
I was going to say, he seems to know how to write a song.
Mm-hmm. The thunder rolls.
Seems to know how to rope himself a Trisha Yearwood. I play a little John Mellencamp there coming back from break. Song's called Play Guitar. I like that song a lot. And some guy, speaking of Mellencamp, some guy did a thing, a guy named Tom McGovern on Twitter. He did Jack and Diane, but all the lyrics are just the sucking on a chili dog part.
I've seen that, yes. Yes.
Chili. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on. Sucking on chili dog. Sucking on a dog, sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on chili, sucking on a dog.
Sucking on a dog. I don't know if John Hoosier Mellencamp will appreciate that, but I
Cougar.
Liked it a lot. Huh?
Is his middle name Cougar?
His stage name was Johnny Cougar, and then it was John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah.
And then it was John Mellencamp, but he is from Indiana. So he's playfully referred to sometimes by rock and roll DJs as John Hoosier Mellencamp.
Yeah, we don't need to keep that going.
Yeah!
I like just all the silly stuff that people do with music. There's somebody doing Rich Girl, but he uses a bad word instead, and it's very funny.
I like that song a lot.
It's a great song. I love Hall & Oates. And then
is it Rich Dumbass? What's the bad word? Rich Meanie?
C.
Rich Meanie?
C.
Oh. Mm. Yes. Rich Cracker?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm. Yes, Rich Cracker.
No,
and
Rich
then
C.
This dude, Alex Melton, who does all these songs, and he'll like do pop punk versions of songs, and then he'll like take a Blink 182 song, and or he'll be like, "This is 1 week by Bare Naked Ladies." If it was by Blink 182, or then he'll take a Blink 182 song and make it country. Mm-hmm. And he's really talented at doing these arrangements, and they're very fun to listen to.
It's been.
But no, you should pull it up. Alex Melton does Blink 182 and Bare Naked Ladies. Because he sounds good, too. Like, he's a good singer.
Mm-hmm. Let me find it here for you. If Blink-182 wrote 1 week.
Yeah.
It's been 1 week since you left me.
I know, right?
See, this is why so many people do pop punk covers of other songs, because that sound is so easy to replicate.
It's easy to write, but it's also so fun and just like
bouncy.
Yeah.
It
sounds like a Blink song,
yes.
Like to the T.
A guy finally made Bare Naked Ladies palatable.
Hey, watch your mouth. I like Bare Naked Ladies.
Anyway, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's very good. He does a bunch of them, and then he'll take like a Blink song, do one of the ones where he turns a pop punk song country.
Oh, well, yeah. He does Panic at the Square dance. That's Pound Cake's favorite punk band.
Yes,
Panic
at
the Disco.
Yes.
Panic at the Square.
I don't know what this song is.
I love this.
He calls it "I Write Sins, Not Tractors." I don't know what the song he's doing. Oh,
he's doing the Panic at the Disco song,
but just in country style.
Yeah. Yes, I see. "I Write Sins, Not Tragedies."
I see. I was thinking he was covering another country song.
Here, exchanging words. What a beautiful wedding. What a beautiful
shed. Yes.
And this guy's just in his living room doing this stuff.
Yeah, so. His name's Alex Melton.
Good for him.
Right on.
How'd you find him? Just screwing
around?
Found
him on YouTube.
Yeah.
I want to sue.
Why?
I love it.
No. Unacceptable.
What would you sue for? You don't own any part of either song.
He just molested a rock band.
Oh, my goodness.
A punk pop rock band.
I love
band. Punk
I won't pop. Lie to you. I would rather listen to that than Panic at the Disco.
Of course you would.
Panic at the Disco.
Do the right Blink 182 does some.
I miss you all.
Semi-charmed kind of life.
Yeah, semi-charmed kind of life.
Semi-charmed life. I'm looking at his page and trying to find it. So,
it's 4 months ago. I can.
Ah, here it is.
There you go.
Let's find it directly.
I love this so much.
Check out his channel. He's got so much.
Yes!
And he sounds like Mark Hoppus.
Yes! Mm-hmm.
There you go. He must have drum tracks because it just shows him playing guitar and bass.
I think he plays the drums. I just think he doesn't film himself.
Film himself doing it, yeah. That's very entertaining.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Listen to you. That was enjoyable.
It was enjoyable. So many of these things
fun.
Suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. That's a good recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even a huge big pop punk guy.
I am.
Right? Like, I always found Blink to be, like, the least annoying of some of those bands. Like, I hate Tom DeLonge's voice. Travis Barker's a douchebag, whatever. But the band was enjoyable. I liked what they did,
mm-hmm.
You know? But a lot of those other bands just sounded like quite literally white noise to me. They mm-hmm. just one oh, after like the other that. After the other. But that was more like you guys growing up yeah. with that stuff.
Right,
yeah.
like Blink-182 hit when I was just out of middle school.
Sum 41.
Got to see them before they even played the main stage at Warped Tour, but they had already blown up. So like there was the most people were there to watch them, but there wasn't enough room. So like it was pretty cool because they were like on a side stage, but yeah. everybody was packed up over there.
Sum 41 I liked a lot more than, because those guys had like some metal riffs in their songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those
yeah.
guys kind of came out of that. That tradition, but
I know. Love that Fat Lip. That was on one of my now. I think it's now Volume 8. Now that's what I call Music Volume 8.
But also on Guitar Hero too, right?
Is it? I don't think so.
Oh, I thought one of those was on Guitar Hero.
Strong through the party like my name is El Nino.
or Rock Band or something.
It might yeah. have been Rock Band. I only had Guitar Hero 2 and 3, so I know for sure it wasn't on those.
Yeah, Sum 41. I've told the story before, but I used to do like these live. They used to do like radio broadcasts of album premieres back in the day. And every so often I'd be asked to host one. And I hosted one year in Salt Lake City with Sum 41. And it was a live satellite show. And we would talk about we're sitting in the studio and we'd talk about the songs. They had an album coming out called Chuck at the time. That was a hard partying band, boy. That dude almost died from just constant drinking. That front man of that band, yeah. that Derek kid.
When you look at him at his worst, he was bad looking. Like he had that alcoholic face where everything was all like puffed up and red.
And he already had a jacked up face. He wasn't doing yeah. himself any favors. He snagged Avril Lavigne for a little bit because I assume they had Tim Hortons in common.
Canadians,
right? Hey, I've got some food news, by the way, that Ooh. Might interest. In Illinois, growing up, if we could not find a Taco Bell, we had a great local chain called Taco John's, which I thought was long gone. But I just read this morning that Taco John's is going to put 10 of them in the Cleveland area. You ever Ooh. Had Taco John's? You ever no. heard of Taco
I've
John's?
I've had Taco John's.
Mm-mm. It's good. It's real good.
I don't remember, really. I feel like every other fast food taco place I've ever had has been very disappointing.
Del Taco, though.
No. Del Taco's really good.
We had Del Taco in Toledo, like it. And it was like, I think it's just because I loved having French fries with my tacos. Because they had crinkle cut fries, and so I could get a churro, French fries, and their tacos were legit. I liked Del
Taco. Did you guys ever have Baja Fresh here?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
We did it for a minute.
Yeah, Baja Fresh
was
okay.
But then Chipotle won.
There you go.
But I never, Del Taco and Taco John's, like, those never did it for me.
Taco John's.
Compared to Taco Bell, I'd rather go to Taco Bell. Than
yeah, I still think that's the gold standard.
Yeah.
But Taco John's, for like a regional chain, they're based out of somewhere in the West, but we had them in Illinois growing up. And I saw that they're going to put 10 of them in the Cleveland area. That made me happy. And they're also opening Bojangles locations up here. You know what Bojangles
oh,
is?
Oh, yeah. Chicken. Mm-hmm.
Chicken place. Like if you go down south, there's Bojangles.
There's
every
so much competition now.
Every 10 feet. What, for chicken?
Because mm-hmm. there's Popeyes, Chick-fil-A, Cane's, and Bojangles.
Slim's.
I don't go to that.
Guthrie's.
One. Guthrie's, okay, I've been there.
Zaxby's.
That's south, too.
No, that's Atlanta, yeah.
Zaxby's, yeah. I used to do commercials for them down there.
And it's just like what you said about like hamburgers. Like, no one's going to give you anything. Or pizza. Like, no one's going to. It's been conquered all before. Mm-hmm. So,
well, but chicken, some places still do it better than others. And I would, you know, if there's a chain that's coming from the south, I'm like, okay. Let me, well, you know, Bojangles is pretty good.
Popeyes, I like their chicken sandwich. Like, didn't knock me off my feet. Like the fact that people were dying over it, I didn't understand
I
that.
I still haven't had one.
Chick-fil-A sandwiches still my number one go to. But if I want chicken fingers, I'm gonna go to Cane's.
I still have not made it to a Raising Cane's.
My niece loves it.
Now, I keep hearing they're gonna put one right down here, and we're moving in 205 days. They better have that Raising Cane's up before we move. You hear that, Cane's? You got 205 days.
What I'm like, I have a dilemma between cane sauce and Chick-fil-A sauce. Because Chick-fil-A sauce, I could like bathe in. Like
a dilemma. If only we were all so blessed.
I love Chick-fil-A sauce, but Cane's, I dip everything in it.
Dilemma.
Chicken fingers, my bread.
Nelly,
you like that?
Mm-hmm. It's been a minute.
Chick-fil-A. Oh,
baby, I love you.
Oh.
And I dip you.
Oh.
Cane's, I love you.
Oh.
I do.
Yeah. But Bojangles, they're putting 15. 13 of them in the Columbus metropolitan area. That's a lot.
It's very spread out.
That's a Columbus is?
Mm-hmm.
It must be. They're putting 15 of them. But I mean, if you've ever driven south, like if you go through Atlanta or Florida or the Carolinas, there's a Bojangles, you know, every exit.
It's like our Waffle House. Like every exit, there's like a Waffle House once you get past like Mansfield.
But I'm always curious, but to your point about these chicken places, are chickens super cheap now or what? Like what? That's what makes me nervous, is you have 100 places that are all... But
people will continue to buy. I don't know if it's
people will buy, and then
cheap.
They'll be like, okay, I need something. Chick-fil-A's line is an hour long.
But they get
I guess I'll
quick.
Go to Bang Bojangles or something.
Mm-hmm. People,
but, I mean, you know, the best place to go, Wendy's.
Also, in food news, Costco is backed up because of cheese.
Yeah, uh-oh. They are.
They're lactose intolerant?
Man, one more thing Costco and I have in common. You know?
Lactose intolerant?
What?
Lactose intolerant. I used to call it lactose intolerant because I didn't know what lactose intolerant was.
Why didn't you just ask what lactose intolerant meant?
What was the fun in that? He couldn't be telling this story right now.
Wait a second. So when someone engaged. Referred to being lactose intolerant, you would say lactose intolerant?
I was a kid. I didn't. Yeah.
I understand.
I thought it was lactose intolerant. I didn't know what lactose was.
And no one told you?
I thought it was... Like your toast was burnt and it was black, so therefore
and you couldn't can't, stand.
Oh,
it
you thought it was it. Black toast intolerant. Oh,
and so anything related to the yeast that was made with that black toast,
you're gonna want to put that toaster on like a 4 or 3 or 7. I'm black toast intolerant.
Bill, I need you to stop judging me, okay?
Black toast intolerant.
You're killing me with your stuff.
That's fantastic.
Black toast intolerant. I thought all the things it made you sick because it was made from burnt toast. Made from black
Tell
toast.
Tell me you're making this up on the fly. Be honest.
No,
his story's changed a little bit since he started because it was black toast, like lactose intolerant.
That's why I was
That's
curious.
Right, yeah.
And then he changed it to black toast.
No, sorry, I was saying it fast, but
oh,
no.
Oh, good.
Okay.
No.
All right.
About that.
I love this and I want it to be true.
Listen, better late than never.
Do I need to call my brother to vouch for me because he will.
Hey, you remember when I used to say black toast intolerant? He'd be like, man. Yeah.
No, because I used to. I was bad with words as a kid, as you could probably imagine.
As a kid.
It was.
It's gotten much better for him as an adult.
I used to call the devil. And so, black toast intolerant. I thought stuff was made from black toast.
Okay.
Like bad toast.
But whatever. Okay, I love it. Black toast intolerant. Costco is running out of some cheeses, though. I'll leave you with that. So if you go to Costco for your cheese, they're finding issues in their supply chain. So, you know, if you go there for things like, well, there's a whole bunch of things that supply chains, because the lingering effects of the pandemic has affected some businesses more than others. And in the case of Costco, if you go there for their cheeses, they're having some problems with those. I don't think that their black toast supply chain is being impacted at all. So, something to think about. But there are a lot of chains right now that are having a hard time with their supply lines. Urban Outfitters, Foot Locker, Dollar Tree.
When did they start carrying cheese?
Not just the cheese, just the stuff that they do carry. Dollars, Foot Lockers,
Urban Outfits.
Urban Outfits, yes.
Some people say our country is more divided than ever. But don't ask him. He sucks at math. Alan Cox on 100.7 WMMS.
That's the power of celebrity.
I don't think it would be the same if it was like Amon Schumpert and Tiana Taylor. Like, I don't think it would have the same, you know, story value. It might make the news for one day, but it wouldn't be like on TMZ and all that stuff.
Where's Shumpy now, though? He's not still here.
No,
Sacramento.
Yeah, Sacramento.
Ah, well, they're looking for whatever they can pick up in kicks in Sacramento.
Well, I'm just saying when he was here, because you know me, I was like looking through the peephole with one eye when I saw him at Burley House. I'm like, what's he doing?
Yeah, you were hoping to catch him on something.
I just want to see, be a fly on the wall.
But you could also,
be a fly on the wall.
If anything did happen, you could have filmed that and sent it to TMZ and made some money.
Yeah, but nothing happened.
Yeah.
He didn't have like a thought or anything in the booth.
I'm well,
like,
hopefully
he's just out there having fun with his boys.
Hopefully, Shumpy's got somebody in the Sacramento Kings organization that's mentoring him. You know, if he Nate Archibald, you know, I mean, that's a guy no, who he could be. You know, if he takes him under his wing. I'm sorry. Did the game finally kill him?
I don't know.
Fine. There are plenty of guys with Sacramento, if I recall, who can step up. and be a mentor of sorts to Iman Shumpert. You're going to be Mike Woodson is a guy you could go to. You could go to.
Alive.
I'm sorry,
he's alive.
Yeah, of course he's alive. He's with the Sacramento Kings. Who else?
I like you trying to remember people that played for the Sacramento Kings. Come on.
Current roster. Oscar Robertson, I'm going to go with.
No.
I think he's with Sacramento.
No.
I'm pretty sure. I'm almost
very
positive.
Retired.
I still have his
not
card,
sure if
I think.
Ever,
I'm pretty sure. Listen.
I don't think he ever played for
if Shumpy still listens, and I know he does from time to time on iHeartRadio, find a guy who can kind of take you under his wing. A guy, a young buck, who's coming, Purvis Ellison, okay? Find a guy like Nervous Purvis, and he will point you in the right direction, okay? Vinny Del Negro, a guy like him, former Bulls coach, that's why I love him. But, you know, been with the Sacramento a long time. Long time.
Not even.
Pretty sure.
Not
Danny
even
Ainge.
Coaching right now.
Listen, Sac City, isn't he with Sacramento? Danny Ainge?
No.
Phoenix Suns?
He's the GM of the Celtics, I believe.
Oh. So.
Oh, these guys are retired.
I know they're tired.
No, retired.
Because they're playing
retired.
These games. I'm sorry?
They're done. They're
yes,
done. Retired.
They get tired, and then they get tired again.
I
understand. Because then they're running up and down that court, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many different ways I can say it. But Shumpy needs a mentor.
Do you watch their reality show?
Who?
Shumps.
I didn't even know they had one.
Didn't even know they had one.
Yep, they have
what's
one.
It called?
Shump to Shump?
No, it's like Iman and...
Might as well Shump?
Iman and Tian or something like that.
The Mac Daddy make you Shump Shump?
No, that's a good one, though.
Shump to conclusions?
Shump for my love? Any of those?
No.
It's not called that?
Did you already say might as well Shump?
Yeah, okay. Might as well Shump. That's right. All right.
Goodwill
it's not called
shumping.
The. What's a good. Okay. Goodwill Shumping. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Throw that in the mix. Yes. We're talking about Kim Kardashian, you know, while Kanye is going off on some rant, she is trying to get some grandmother sprung from the joint who got caught up in some, as a younger woman, got caught up in some drug deals, and she said. Yeah, I fell in love with a guy, and I was kind of an intermediary for him, but I never sold drugs. I was the girl with the pager or whatever. And Kim Kardashian, along with, apparently, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, are trying to get this woman sprung. This woman named Alice something, who's a grandmother now.
Great-grandmother, I believe.
Is she?
Yeah.
Alice Marie Johnson was jailed for life without parole. As part of a drug, her part of a drug conspiracy. She's been in for 16 years, and Kim Kardashian has been trying to file for clemency for her.
What does clemency mean?
To get her out of, get her charges dropped so she can be, you know.
That's a thing? You can do that?
I thought yeah, like
it was
get, like
final.
No, nothing's ever final in the justice system. You just have to have people who were either, you file your own something, you know, because. I don't know.
Okay. This is the first time Kim has done something like this, by the
no,
way.
No, she's done it for a handful of people. But this woman in particular, I mean, she's been in since 1997, and she was denied clemency in a previous appeal to President Obama. Listen, forget all this nonsense.
That's Obama could have pardoned her.
But this is how you get her sprung. Forget all the glitz and glam. Just tell Trump that Obama said no, and he'll sign his lady out himself.
True.
That's true.
So, but she's trying to do something. I'm sure part of it's a PR thing. Kim wants to distract from the Kanye nonsense, but that's probably how they met.
Do you think she's going to start opening for profit prisons, and that's what this is all about?
I don't know.
Go to
KKW prison, yeah.
Come to a Kardashian prison.
Yep.
You'll be here for life.
Right. So, yeah, she's trying to do something. I really hope you got a black grandma who's about to get sprung. I mean, you can almost write the script yourself, but I really do hope they make a movie about this and call it Ma DEA.
Yeah, right there.
So, you film scribes, if you want to get working on a treatment, toot sweet. I ain't going to stop you. But at least she's trying to do something nice.
Yeah, Kim...
She's kind of known for doing things like this. There was a girl, a young girl.
You just said she didn't do things like this.
No, she said this isn't the first person she's done this
for. I said she was known for things like this. She's done this before. There was a young girl, maybe like 13 or 14, and she got somehow trapped in sex trafficking, and she beat off her,
Ooh, poorer choice of words.
Yeah, that's Cyntoia Brown. She was like in court.
Yeah.
And
she was sentenced. I think she was sentenced to life or something like that.
She beat off her attackers, Bill.
She beat him or she killed him. Like, I don't know how.
I think she killed him.
She killed him.
Yeah.
And she was sentenced to life for that, even though she claimed self-defense and her defense clearly wasn't good enough. And, you know, Kim said, I'm getting my lawyers on this. I hope you guys will join me in this movement trying to get her out.
It certainly doesn't seem like it's still in process, but it does not seem like a solution for human trafficking problems to imprison girls who fight these guys off and murder them in the process.
It's wrong.
You think part of you, I know that there are legal restrictions and murder's murder, but you think there'd be part of legislators that would go, hey, one less sex trafficker we got to worry about.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, murder's not murder. Murder, when if you're...
There's reasons for murder.
If you're...
It's still a capital offense, though.
Yeah, but if you're fighting someone off that is putting your life in danger, that's self-defense. That's not murder.
I agree, but they still put her in jail.
They kill them. Well, that's because the system's rigged.
They didn't believe her.
People are more forgiving of a murderer than like a pedophile or something like that. Like, there's conditions to murder. If someone was trying to hurt your family...
Because we all have people that we want to kill.
I'm not even saying that.
Found out she was beating these guys off, they were like, well, that doesn't sound like somebody who was fighting.
I'm just saying, if you murder someone for self-defense or someone was trying to hurt your family, you know, that's a condition for murder in some cases. Doesn't make it right, but, you know, a lot of people would make the same decision. But there's no reason. You can't justify rape or child molestation. Like, you are just... You either were power hungry or you were horny and, you know, you're a disgusting person. So there's no reason for that. You can't justify that.
Well, who's doing the raping?
Poundcake, please answer the president.
I don't know.
By the way, big props to the guys who got hauled out of that Starbucks in Philly. Joe in Philly sent me this on Twitter.
Oh, I saw this. This is a pretty cool story.
The two guys who got hauled out of that Starbucks because the manager went into a white panic, they settled with the city of Philadelphia for $1 each. And they asked the city to create a $200,000 program aimed at young entrepreneurs like themselves, because they were in to meet somebody at this Starbucks in Philadelphia, and the manager calls the police because there's two black men sitting there, and they're not buying anything, and blah, blah, blah. So they said, we're not looking to sue the city for a ton of money or the chain. So they settled. This is like a symbolic gesture when they go, $1, the Taylor Swift thing. Mm-hmm. You know, she sued for $1.
But then again, she'll need that money. I'm going to get that check. I'll make a charity afterwards with the, you know, I'll give back after.
Well, I'm actually going to try and apply for this grant because I have an idea that would be in these guys' best interest. It is white friend. It's an Uber for black guys to have a white friend to get them out of trouble in a situation like that.
It works. You're mine.
Whitefriend.com. Right.
Yeah,
all right.
You just call for a friend, and you know, you get on the app. You request a white guy to come and hang out with you.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Why would they call you? You got more legal trouble than I have.
No. It's not me specifically. It's whoever's in the area.
Yeah.
It's Uber for white friends.
Right.
Okay. So then they show up, and when the cops get there, they don't have to talk to the cops. The white guy talks to the cops.
Right. Officer.
Here's the name for your app. Caucasian. Caucasian. But we'll see. Somebody at the top of the show did say R.I.P. Gail Sayers, albeit a brief career in professional football. He was done by the early 70s. He only played 68 games, but he's still considered one of the greatest running backs of all time. Of course, Brian's song is Brian Piccolo, who died of cancer. And Billy D. Will. Lando Calrissian played Gail Sayers in that film.
Yeah, I remember the scene where he went and visited him in the hospital. He's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
I say to you here now, Brian Piccolo is the man of courage who should receive the George S. Halas Award.
So, there you go. R.I.P. Gail Sayers, a legend in football. See, the more interesting thing to me, actually, is it Gail Sayers, who was born in Kansas, I think, but lived in Indiana. Specifically, he died in a town called Wakarusa, Indiana. Now, I don't imagine you've ever been to Wakarusa, but it does have its own history. Wakarusa, Indiana is a small town. It's a town of about 1,800 people. That number might go up from time to time. That number might go down from time to time. But Wakarusa, Indiana is a beautiful little town. It's about 30 minutes outside South Bend. And, of course, you know, it's a little bit too far away from Chicago. But I remember as a kid, once in a while, we would go to the big maple syrup festival in Wakarusa, Indiana. They didn't have much going on there. But they were proud people, you know. The Wakarusa paper was basically one page. They'd have a couple of stories on the front, and then they'd have, you know, other things on the back. Tractor pulls and whatnot. So, you know, for tourists who happen to be in the area, maybe driving by on the highway, see signs for the big maple syrup festival. But when I was a child, Wakarusa became famous for one very specific thing. Even made the big city papers.
World's largest butt plug.
That was 1981. I'm talking about 1980.
Okay.
Mm.
When young Alan was 9 years old and I was fascinated with the story of Contented Linda Grace. And Contented Linda Grace was a 4-H Holstein heifer, right? People who are farm people, you know this. You know, when you get your animals kind of registered for 4-H, my daughter, when 4-H was a thing pre-COVID, you know, my daughter, she wasn't showing animals, but she was in 4-H. So friends of hers would be showing animals and things. But, you know, a lot of times farm people know when you register these animals, you give them the names of their mother and father and half their ancestors, right? You don't just call them Brownie or Susie. You give them a name. You give, it's like a, you know.
It's a lineage.
It's like a lineage. It's like racehorses or dogs. And the town of Wakarusa, Indiana had Contented Linda Grace. And her owners had been notified. Mr. and Mrs. Lowell Engelmeyer were the owners. And they had been notified that Contented Linda Grace had been named the 4-H best dairy animal in its age class in the world.
Yes.
In Wakarusa, Indiana. Which meant that she was going to be on the cover of, I'm not joking, Holstein World Magazine.
Every Holstein's dream.
Which, I don't even know if it's a publication anymore, but at the time, that was distributed throughout the world.
They're actually doing better than ever.
They went all digital.
No.
And they broadened beyond
more
Holstein's.
Paper, they said.
Oh.
We want life-size photos. We want, when you turn the pages, it's like you're standing there with the cow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at that centerfold.
Look so, udders on that, Bessie.
They get the word. This is a huge news for them, right? They're local celebrities because of this in Wakarusa, Indiana. Every town needs something to be proud of. Every small town needs something to be proud of. Menor, Ohio has Mitch Trubisky. Right?
Yeah, something to be proud of.
Yes! Medina, Ohio has William Scott Squire.
Same response.
Berea, Ohio has Mary Lynn Santora.
Oh, oh!
Oberlin, Ohio has Cody Allen Brown. Every town needs something to be proud of. So they get the call that Contented Linda Grace is going to be on the cover of Holstein World Magazine. And also, she's going to be on their annual calendar, which everybody gets. The 1980 full nude spread eagle, just like Mary with her boyfriend. They get the news that she's going to be in the 1980 Holstein World Calendar. It's a big deal. And that was on Monday. It was in the paper. On Tuesday, the front page of the Wakarusa paper said that Contented Linda Grace had died.
Of what?
I guess she just gave up. I don't know. But they had reported that she had died in the barn at the farm of Mr. and Mrs. Lowell Engelmeyer. So for 24 hours, those people in Wakarusa were able to hold their heads high and say, hey, we have the best Holstein heifer in the world. And the next day, they had nothing.
And you bring this up because?
Gail Sayers died in Wakarusa, Indiana. So, 40 years after the untimely demise of one contented Linda Grace, the one thing for which Wakarusa, Indiana, a town of 1,800 people at its peak, the one thing that town was known for has now been supplanted by the fact that a sports legend has passed away there.
Lion be both that heifer and Gail Sayers for not having to sit through all that.
Because they're dead.
I'm starting to get the impression, Bill, that you are not as impressed as a young Alan Cox was at being so close, albeit 2 hours away, but being so close to a world champion Holstein heifer. I know you big city types, Bill, want to scoff,
across the street from a cornfield.
I think it would be more interest to you then. But you guys didn't own livestock.
And yet it's not.
You didn't own livestock. I'm not even talking to you. I'm talking to the people who listen, who are out in these towns.
I know, and I'm speaking for some of them.
Excuse me, who aspire to someday perhaps be in the vaunted company of the late, great, contented Linda Grace. There might be a young kid out there who's getting ready to show his first, or her, first prized hog. Yeah. Thinking, man, if I could only... I remember that guy on the radio talking about contented Linda Grace from Wakarusa, Indiana. And if Mr. and Mrs. Lowell Engelmeyer could do it, then by God, I can do it too.
Just be careful showing your prized hog. It'll get you canceled.
I'm starting to think that no one here is taking me seriously when I try to regale you with tales of livestock done good, Bill.
Done good and then dead.
Yes, 24 hours later, for one day. Imagine being in a place where for one day, finally, you could go, yes, I'm Woo-hoo. From Wakarusa, Indiana, and we have this amazing thing that none of us had anything to do with. It was purely by chance. It was a week later, since you're so far not that interested, Bill, it was a week later that they found both Mr. and Mrs. Lowell Engelmeyer hanging in that very same barn.
And why did they hanging from their neck? Or are they just like...
No, from their ankles, Bill.
I know if they're doing like CrossFit or something.
I made that part up, but I was just trying to really add some spice to the story. I was really trying to ratchet it up. Right?
Well, it didn't work. I mean, maybe some kid's inspired and they want a prize-winning heifer, but I feel like there's many people that are like, okay, neat. Can we move on?
Alan's into cows. He's always been a bovine enthusiast.
Yes, that's right. I'm fascinated by... I didn't grow up around livestock. I'm fascinated by
people should expect it.
Curious about things that... Both funerals featured strip steaks. I don't know what that means. Don't know what that means. But I feel like you're not... What if we were to find out that Terry the Goat, something awful had happened to her? What if she gets named some prized animal? You going to be so quick to dismiss, Bill?
No, but I have somewhat of a relationship with Terry the Goat.
So you have no relationship with Terry the Goat.
The show does. Therefore, I do.
I don't even have a relationship with Terry the Goat. I would never presume on our friendship.
Pop quiz. How much crap can 270 minutes hold?
It might be crap, but we love it.
The Alan Cox Show.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Did you see that New Kids on the Block have announced they're coming to the queue?
With Paula Abdul.
and boys, I men.
That's right.
Yeah. So no longer the end of the road for those guys. Paula Abdul, good for her. What is she, like 55 years old now?
Yeah, probably older than that, to be honest with you.
Nice. I hear it's hard for her to stand straight up, Bill.
No, and let me tell you why.
Right, that Paula Abdul, I'll tell you what. She is a national treasure.
She's 54.
There you go.
54 years young.
Boom.
I'm excited. I'll go to the show. I will be there.
Bruno Mars is coming too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure I get good tickets for that show.
For Bruno Mars?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that will be an instance in which Poundcake will purchase his third fedora?
Maybe I'll use the ones I already have.
Well, you have two. Wouldn't you want to get a new one for the Bruno Mars show?
I wouldn't want to upstage him because I'm a badass bitch. That's why.
He doesn't want to get a new fedora, so he doesn't upstage one Bruno Mars.
Again, it sounds like you're speaking English, but then again, it just sounds like a bunch of words strung together. So I'll get out my English to Poundcake dictionary and go from there.
If I feel like I want to have an outfit that matches with a fedora, I will purchase one.
I thought you said a fedora would go with just about anything.
But it would match better with something that actually matches the colors.
But you're not going to dress for church to go see Bruno Mars.
No. I'm going to dress like some old mobster, I guess. Or some guy that has a night out on the town, and he has like one of those stopwatches in his pocket, and he swings it around. Bruno Mars.
A pocket watch?
Is it a pocket watch?
Yeah.
No, it's a stopwatch. he's a personal trainer / mobster.
Yeah, right. He wants to check your time. That's all right. It's always, there's nothing wrong with walking around with a stopwatch.
Besides, she
got three more reps, see?
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Erica said she was going. She didn't say me and Poundcake are going. She probably wants to go together.
Okay. Is Poundcake down the
queue?
See,
by the queue? Just wants to be asked.
Sure. He's going to
wait. Wasn't going to invite myself.
He's going to time how long it takes him to get his ass kicked for having a pocket watch. And time. All right. Well, listen, there you go. Very exciting. We haven't heard from her in a long, long time, but we had that woman that called the show a few years back who said that her husband and children were fine with her following New Kids on the Block. Remember her?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She would go on the road and leave her husband and children behind. This is a grown-ass woman, early 40s, who said she would follow them on the road trying to, I assume, relive her youth.
There's definitely like a little population of people who are like that, who are kind of hanging on to the last strings of their youth and traveling with these bands. When I went to that Salt and Peppa show at the IX Center, it was like all 90s groups. Vanilla Ice was there. There were like two baby boomer moms fighting with each other in line over when New Kids on the Block was going to be back in town. I got sources. They said this day, this is when they're coming.
Hey, listen, if you want to go to the show, that's fine. But sure. If you have a family and you hit the road to go see a band, yeah.
Some people are in love.
Single and ready to mingle, I guess.
But maybe that's what makes that relationship work, is that the guy doesn't really care and she's all about it, that, you know, opposites attract. Let me just keep doing Paula Abdul. I know way too much about Paula Abdul, by the way. She was like the thing when we first got MTV, so she had...
She was cute.
So many music videos.
She could actually sing?
I don't know.
Yeah, Paula Abdul.
She can sing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was a dancer for Michael Jackson or somebody. She was a dancer choreographer back in the day, and then she put out like an album, and it sold 10 million copies or whatever. She hasn't toured in 25 years.
I know her music, but she was just like over the cusp of like older for me. So it was like, I know her stuff, but I wasn't freaking out over Paula Abdul. She was just a little too old for me at the time.
Yeah, I think I rubbed one out to the CD booklet of hers a couple of times.
It's tucked.
Yeah, it's in there.
I was too young to rub one out, but the video for Cold Hearted Snake was very good.
Look into his eyes.
You're never too young to rub one out.
I mean, yeah, you are. I was watching TV with my entire, like... family. I'm not going to start rubbing one out.
Oh, I remember Cold Hearted Snake when I was in high school. That was the song where we'd change the lyrics of, Bill, to make fun of girls we didn't like.
Oh.
We'd say, Cold Hearted Snake, look between her thighs. Uh-oh. Bitches got some flies. That is the song we would sing.
Yeah. Called her Cold Hearted
Snake. You showed them.
Right, I did. Well, that's when I was trying to be cool.
Sure.
Clearly didn't work.
Not at all.
But you'll notice I have long since put the Bitches Got Some Flies song to rest.
Will MC Scat Cat be making an appearance?
Doesn't say anything about that. I don't know. Really blow your mind if MC Scat Cat shows up with Boys to Men instead of Paula Abdul. I heard there was a falling out between the two of them, so I don't know if... I will have another $1,000 keyword for you in a few minutes, bottom of every hour or thereabouts. It's the last week for our relocation fund. Everybody who does one of these text words, somebody wins $1,000. So I'll have that for you in a bit. Good luck. I had my gun lunch today. Fired a gun for the first time ever.
You
I
had your gun today?
Fired, I posted a photo at my Twitter at Alan Cox Show. Yeah. Jeff and I went to a range about 10 minutes from here.
Jeff Hardick?
Yep.
Hmm.
And with...
He's the one who's been asking me to go.
With an assortment of firearms, I shot 6 different handguns. And it was... Because I'm always trying to...
You've never shot a gun before?
Never fired a gun.
Okay.
And when we had these conversations, I thought to myself, you know what? I can't talk to people if I've never had the experience of that. Of course, now all the ammosexuals in the audience, they're all... They couldn't be happier because they're all hitting me up thinking that I'm going to be like yippee-ki-yay mother lover. And I'm like, well, no, I just wanted to have to at least have that perspective on things. I still associate, I know people grow up, depending on where you grow up, you associate firearms with hunting or whatever. I grew up in the city, so I associate them with killing people. But I was like, well, listen, I'm 45 years old. I've never fired a gun. I certainly wouldn't know where to start. And so we went to the, had a gun lunch, went to the range, and it's intense. It's intense.
Did you ice your arm afterwards?
No, nothing like that.
There wasn't anything with a lot of kickback?
Oh, yeah. There was some of that. Yep.
Went you just from, got muscle.
No, it's not that. What did I fire? I started with a .22, which is like a little zip gun, basically, compared to the other ones. A couple of 9mm, 380. There was a 45 in there. I think the 45 might be the one that was kind of my best friend. But it was very interesting.
Were your hands shaking as you were like holding the gun?
No, I didn't know what to expect. I think it was pretty much what I thought it would be. When we were first getting one of the stalls that you stand in there, we were up at the counter and the guy goes, "Well, you're going to share a stall, right?" And we go, "Yeah." And Jeff makes a joke. He goes, "You know, just like the men's room." The guy goes, "I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that." I'm like, all right, well, hey, man, we're, you know.
Cool.
Takes all kinds.
That guy has a great sense of humor.
But it was very interesting. I'll tell you what, though, it certainly gives you a different perspective. And again, people who are well-versed in guns, I know I sound like an infant, but it's my first experience with them. But you think of the perspective of people who come back from overseas who have PTSD because all they hear is gunfire. Just in that enclosed space of being in a range, it's just nonstop firing. And, you know, so there's a weird mix of like adrenaline and then your nerves kind of temporarily being shot. But very interesting. I can't say, I thought I was going to walk out feeling more like, you know, like I said, yippee-ki-yay, mother lover. I thought it was going to be
melon
one of those.
Farmers.
Like maybe farmers. Having some fantasies about being like a shoot 'em up cop kind of thing or something.
I think,
like,
yeah.
Like an action star.
Yeah, because yeah, didn't you say that you thought you would be like addicted to it if you shot
a
gun?
Well, what I said was that I was, the reason that I put it off for so long was because I never really sought out the opportunity and because I was worried that I'd really like it.
Yeah.
But I'm always looking to discover new things about myself. So I didn't walk out feeling like that. I just walked out feeling like, okay, I've done that. Maybe I'll do it again. You know, when the zombie apocalypse starts, let's say I'm walking down the street and I find a handgun in a storm drain, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be completely ineffective in that situation. I need to know what to do. So we'll see. But it was interesting. You ever shot a gun?
Well, other than that one news piece that I did where I shot a replica police officer firearm.
But you weren't firing off live rounds is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Were you?
But they are, it's stronger than a paintball and
but you weren't
weaker
firing
than a
bullets.
Bullet.
You weren't firing bullets. Like, I had hot casings going into my hoodie.
It has the same
Kick?
Kick.
Okay.
So it's no, it's literally, if you closed your eyes and you didn't know there was an actual, whether there was an actual bullet or not, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference because it's the same, it fires the same speed. It's just made of a different material. Mm-hmm. So if you get hit with it, it hurts really, really bad, but you're not going to die.
And the wild thing is, too, is we kind of doubled up on the, you know, you wear the
ear protection.
Earmuffs.
But then we had the little earplugs in, too, little foam things, you know, like some people wear at a concert. So you're in there. It's like you're underwater. Like you can barely hear, you know. But again, it's...
Fire that direction.
Yeah.
What? Turn your arm the other way.
Well, I had pretty good aim. It turns out I had pretty good aim. But yeah, I don't know.
Did you take your thing, your paper?
I didn't take it with me. No, I took a couple of photos. But I mean, didn't take it with me.
Hmm.
I wasn't looking for a souvenir. Well, actually, I have a few bullets and a few shell casings.
Do you think that you will be a gun purchaser?
No, I don't. I couldn't ever see myself buying.
Never,
one.
Ever, Alan.
Nope. Well, listen,
not even for house protection.
You can't I've lived to 45 years old in some of the worst neighborhoods in the United States. I've never had a gun.
Yeah, but you'll get robbed in Bay Village.
That's possible.
It's all over.
I know. You're right.
It could happen.
It can happen anywhere. I didn't grow up in a gun family.
Me either.
I wanted to at least know kind of what I was talking about, because there's nothing worse than somebody talking about something when they have no clue what they're talking about. So I at least wanted to know kind of what I was talking about and have that experience. I honestly cannot see myself ever purchasing a gun.
I will have a gun.
That is your right to do so.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about
have
getting
a little
piece.
Have you ever shot a gun, Pound Cake?
Yeah.
You have? Okay.
Not at a shooting range, but I've...
I mean, it doesn't have to be.
Shot people before.
Well,
Mean streets of Oberlin.
Well, my uncle's a redneck, so we used to go in the back of his... Back in Wellington, we used to go, he had like 4 acres. We used to set up a little target in his backyard, and he used to take me shooting. And I never shot a pistol, but I've done shotguns before. And that's all I ever needed to do, because that kickback on that thing, I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, God, I was looking in the case as we were leaving. There's some goddamn hand cannons in there, man.
Mm-hmm.
There are, like, you know.
What's
like
that
big
thing?
Guns.
What's the thing that's, like, over your shoulder?
A
bazooka?
The RPG or whatever it's
not
called.
Not a bazooka.
Rocket-propelled grenade? Surface-to-air missile?
No. There's a name for it, and I can't think of it. It's, like, a weird name. It's, like, a...
Does it start with a K?
It's, like, a type of bazooka, maybe.
Does it start with a K?
Bazooka Joe Gum.
No.
Oh.
I forget what it's called, but I've seen...
It's on a video game. Is that what you're talking about?
People fire those on YouTube and they fall over. I forget what it's called.
My favorite bazooka is great.
A musket?
No.
I'm talking about a musket.
A musket. You gotta tamp that thing down.
Starts with an O, maybe?
I remember that.
It's gonna drive me nuts.
That scene in Malibu's Most Wanted. The dude comes in. Is that a freaking musket?
Malibu's Most Wanted is what you're quoting. Wow. Was that B-Rad? Was that movie? Jamie Kennedy? Was that Malibu's Most Wanted?
Yeah, that was Malibu's Most Wanted, and there was his Indian best friend, and he came in, he was like, you drop your gats! Drop your gats! He's like, wait, is that a freaking musket?
All right. Hoosker do's, Hoosker don'ts. Right.
Damn, this is going to drive me nuts. Hopefully somebody will tweet me.
Well, maybe the Google machine will tell you.
I tried to look it up. I don't even know where to start. I just know it's a weird name.
What's the bazooka that starts with an O? All right,
Ozuka.
Ozuka. Alan, hopefully you understand why the whole we can't just shoot bad guys in the legs or arms argument is irrelevant. That's the thing, too. You know, I know that there are skilled marksmen out there, but even when you're shooting at a target, you're like, it's hard to hit something. And that's a stationary hanging target. You know, you think if you were chasing someone and they were running, you would just be able to fire in their direction and probably hit them.
Just if
you
fired enough times.
Right.
You think? Yeah, no.
Spray and pray, as it were.
Yeah, bullets aren't that big. And they,
some of them are.
And you got to know what you're doing to really be a good shot.
When I did that TV piece for Channel 19, when they were like, was this around the time when all the Ferguson shooting and all that stuff was happening. They just wanted to see how average people would handle being a police officer's shoes for the day or whatever. I've never fired a gun before. The first thing they do is when I get there, obviously they put the gear on me and whatnot, and then I go to this room and do a practice where I'm firing the same gun that I'm going to be used without any bullets in it at targets. I was so terrible. They made me sit in there for like, I must have done the tutorial like 5 or 6 times because I kept, they're like, no, that's not. I'm like, okay. I don't have any aim at all. at all.
Hmm.
I mean, I emptied my gun on the guy that was pretending to be the robber, and I didn't hit him once.
He's walking around still alive. Good job, Erica. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, hey.
What's up?
I think the bazooka that Erica's talking about is maybe an AT-4.
No.
She said it starts
with an
O.
It's a weird name. It's like a Osaki.
Osaki.
Osoko. Oh,
I don't know. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. I said RPG. That's wrong.
She's giving you plenty of clues.
How do you? Osaki, Usuki, Uzo.
You can't figure it out.
Uzi.
That's not a.
Uzi's not an over the shoulder. Uzi's one of those handheld automatic machine guns.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, donkey.
I was thinking of Uzi.
How do you get your hand on a bazooka?
That's like a Boys in the Hood. I was talking about them. Like, what happened to the Uzi? Like, when it was all Gangster Disciples versus Latin Kings, it was all Tech Nines and Uzis back in the day.
Yeah. Uzi was what I was thinking of. Hey, I was right. It starts with an O. But
Uzi is how Uzi is spelled. It's not O-O-Z-I-E.
I thought it was O-U-Z-I.
It's because it oozes lead when you shoot it at somebody. It's like a Halloween gun.
Whatever. Uzi.
Uzi is how that's spelled.
Not a bazooka. And why do people fall?
I think she was hearing the ooze in bazooka.
It was
thinking
making
Uzi.
Me think of something, yes. Right.
So people fall when they shoot a bazooka? Or when they shoot a Uzi?
No, not an Uzi, but a bazooka.
Erica's trying to tell you she feels woozy.
I clearly know nothing about guns.
Well,
whenever someone shoots a Uzi, if they don't know what they're doing in a movie, it goes all over the place. That's
what I was
cliche.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of.
All right.
I mean, I'll go with that.
You just stick to having no guns. Just stick to no guns.
No, I want a little piece. I would like to get a gun.
A little piece? Is that what I'd like a little piece, too.
Yeah, right? A little piece. A little pow-pow.
I gotcha. One of those little pink lady pistols, a little 22.
Yeah,
or like 38
smoker garter.
I want those little finger guns that you draw out of your waistband. Pew, pew.
That's actually just finger guns.
The pearl handle revolvers? Is that what you
want? Yeah, that's what I want.
What is that called?
The little flag that comes out and says bang. That's what she wants.
What you doing around these parts? Draw!
Wow. You're going to be in Westworld?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm going to have saloon doors as my front door.
Mm-hmm.
So if you enter at your own risk.
Yep.
There'll be a barmaid with a giant beer mug
a
for
frosty
you.
Brew.
That's right.
Get out of here, you varmint! Erica wants to be transported back to the Old West.
And have the assless chaps on.
That's redundant, but I take your point. Oh, boy.
The Derringer, that's what it was.
Oh, the Derringer. Rock and roll hoochie-coo. Yeah, I feel you. Let me see. Where is Erica here? Oh, here she is.
Toughest rip-roaringest Edward Everett Hortonest hombre whatever packed a six-shooter.
She wants to fire them into the ground and have it shoot her up like retro rockets.
That's right.
I gotcha. Okay.
I don't want to fire it around their feet so they have to hop around for a little bit to try to dodge the bullets.
Well, the president-elect says there's a lot of bad hombres out there, so you might want to look. I'm sorry, he said hombres. There's a lot of bad hairstyles out there.
I'm going to get some throwing stars.
He's right about that.
There are a lot of bad hairstyles out there, yeah, including in his mirror.
Fire some throwing stars off to somebody's throat.
So you want to be half Mae West, half ninja?
That's right.
All right.
I'm a movie ninja.
Great rendition of that song, too. By the way, if you voted for Donald Trump and you're sitting at home going, oh, I voted for the guy and he doesn't pay attention to me anymore. He's going to make a victory tour of all the states that he won. So if you've been pining...
A victory tour? Who does that?
This guy, because listen, spoiler alert, he's really not going to be the guy in charge of the day-to-day nitty-gritty. So you can bet your ass...
It'll be a figurehead.
There's going to be a lot of this. That's right. A lot of traveling around while who knows what is doing whatever back in Washington. But listen, if you are worried that you aren't going to get to see him anytime soon, because he doesn't call, he never writes... he's going to visit all the states. He won Ohio, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
So he'll be back. Don't know where, but he said he's going to do a victory tour of America. And we have bureau chiefs in every state in the union and around the world. If your state was a Hillary Clinton state, well, then you don't get a visit from the president. I hope it's better than the Jackson family victory tour, because, boy, that was a 13-year-old Alan Cox got dragged to that. Sure, all the other guys needed to make some money, so they got Michael to go out with them. Made a big deal out of it. that Jackson Victory Tour. Michael didn't want to do it. He was sitting on Thriller, biggest album of all time. But Jermaine and Marlon were like, we got bills to pay. Please go out with us. Cool. Jackson Victory Tour.
Was it good?
October 1984, Soldier Field. Young Alan Cox was there. By the way, I think it was a week before the show at Municipal Stadium. It was Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, I believe. And the last laugh was on Jackie Jackson because he got hurt right before the tour and couldn't perform. So was it good, Pound Cake? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Did a 13-year-old Alan Cox, pardon me, Captain Terrific, like that show?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
It was okay. It was a spectacle. It wasn't my thing. I went because my friend's...
But it's Michael Jackson!
...older sister wanted to go, and his mom made her take him or something. I don't know.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find four of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.